much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
There are some men here to see you from the FBI.
The FBI!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It'll be kung fu first. Ask questions later.
What song title best describes you?
You know what? Honestly, the song that describes me best is the national anthem.
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
And now,
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Totally.
I used to be number one in this town, but people don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
Sure is, Kevin.
Sure is, Kevin. Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 5:31.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
Well, we're taking phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, Monday morning edition, 1-800-520-1067. I'd just like to go on the record saying that Lisa Mae has never looked hotter than she did Friday night.
Oh, who's that's with? So nice.
Who is with me? Woo! I don't know what Psycho Mike has been having her do. They certainly talk about it enough, but
yeah, do.
I don't pay attention. Whatever Lisa's doing, it's unbelievable. She's in some sort of a time machine. She gets younger every time I see her.
That's really nice. Thank you.
Reap.
Oh, what?
Oh, come on.
What was that? Is that part of the
but
workout?
But he yelled surprise, so there's nothing I can do.
Okay, good.
The well, party nice was awesome, wasn't it?
It was,
that
yeah.
club is beautiful. I'd never been inside there. I mean, I was when it was other things, because it's been a million
it's
different
been 100
things.
Right.
But it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it was very nice. It's kind of odd for us to be in that location.
I was pinching myself quite a bit.
Because.
You mean someplace classy?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Pretty much.
It was weird. I think the last time I was in that piece of real estate was maybe even back when it was the Palace. I mean, that's how long it's been since I've been there.
Yeah.
You'd be hard-pressed to recognize it. I mean, I guess that was upstairs of the Palace is where we were,
right.
now known as Bardot. But, yeah, it was something else. Turns out our listeners are hot, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good
pretty
group,
pretty good-looking listeners, yes. Yeah. I think so, too.
We never know. We always guess, and then sometimes it's just a disaster.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, like this time, seems like it was better than average.
I mean, I like to imagine that most of our listeners are models.
And, right. Like us.
There's very little evidence to support that. But Friday night, there was a sliver. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was pretty strong.
I have to say, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later, that your taking my list away was probably a good move.
Right?
Yeah.
Tell me about the people you met.
The one reason you took it away. You were absolutely right.
Oh, Trank Dart.
Oh.
Death to Trank Dart.
And what reminded me was when Bean mentioned about, you know, we like to pretend they're all models. Apparently,
right.
She thought it should be a model party.
Ah.
So she was just going to sit back and observe until she found the hottest model, and then that
right.
would be her guy.
How about that?
I got that.
Trank Dart by 9:30.
No,
yeah, Trank
no
Dart was
guys here.
The listener that we spoke with last week, for folks who don't remember or didn't hear, who was death on the phone. I
yes.
mean, we could barely stay awake talking to her for the 90 seconds we had her on the air.
And that's why I think it was Ralph that said she sounds like she got hit with a Trank Dart.
Right.
Right.
So we were all ready to hang up.
And Lisa's like, no, she could be good. Let her in.
Because there are people who, unlike us, wake up slowly.
Right.
So I was giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. Was she one of those people? No.
No.
It wasn't. But
it was
Lisa,
worse than that.
Yes, Lisa's right. It wasn't just that she looked like she had been hit with a tranquilizer dart. It was that no one in the party was good enough for her.
There's
That's
no
the
one
thing.
Cute here.
We always have that problem.
And Lisa hit it right on the nose. At 8:45 when she's telling you that, you go, well, you know, just relax a little bit. And maybe later on tonight some other people will show up. She was insistent that it was our fault that at 8:45, 8:50, there was no model-level guys there.
And I said, you know what? Go talk to every guy here and then come back
right.
to me. Because unless you interact with someone, you don't really know anything about them. And people look better the more that you talk to them because they're funny and they're interesting.
And you're drinking.
And you're drinking.
Right.
And by the way, you're not a model.
Right.
She's fine, but come on.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was disgusted.
I had a girl tell me that too, and I started yelling at her.
Good
I was
for
like,
you.
You know what? That is all you.
Mm-hmm.
You think there's nobody here at the party? That's on you.
Yeah. I agree.
But those people were the exception, I think. Most people were really, I think there was more mingling going on, and that's not a euphemism. There were people actually talking to other people that they didn't know than I've seen at most parties.
Yeah, it was a pretty good party, I thought.
Me too. Really I did too.
Got home about 1:30 and thought, I could have gone another half hour, hour. That was kind of fun.
It was. It was
I need
good
to
time.
Go back. Then I went back. It wouldn't let me in. It was very ugly.
Well, you went back to the Roxy. That's why.
Yeah, it's the wrong place.
Forgot where the party was.
All right. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Anything you want to talk about is fine. Something happened over the weekend. Celebrity sighting. I had a celebrity sighting I'll tell you about later.
Really?
Somebody that I watched District 9 with.
Okay.
Ooh,
movie theater.
Yeah.
Somebody that we all know. So, time for your phone calls, and we will give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, we gotta check this. This can't be right that we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Epicenter 09 concert this weekend. Just for calling in? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Good prize.
I mean, but usually we give you like a $5, Happy Meal coupon or something. This is actually tickets to the Pomona Fairplex to see Tool and Linkin Park and Alice in Chains and Wolf Mother. I mean, come on.
You're not suggesting that the Happy Meal isn't a great prize.
It's a fantastic prize, but it's not Epicenter. I'm just saying there's a higher standard for your call. It's not enough to just call in. You have to wow us this morning to get the prize, all right? So we're going to have to decide after each call that they earned it or not.
All right. Let's start with Kerry. Hi, Kerry.
Hey, how you doing, guys? What it do?
Hey,
in keeping with the news theme of the morning, did you guys catch True Blood last night?
Oh, I taped it. I'm two episodes behind on True Blood.
Okay.
Okay,
but
well,
go ahead.
I won't give anything away, but I will tell you that Sookie has an extended nude scene in the show last night.
Is that Anna Paquin?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy, was she hot.
Yeah, that was Anna Paquin. And this is not the first time on this series, even. It seems like this one is causing more and more nudity as the show goes along.
Well, and I think I read in an interview where she said, look, I knew going in, if I wasn't going to do this, I wouldn't have been in this in this TV show because I knew what it was going to be.
The amazing thing about her, too, is she's got a massive gap between her front teeth, but somehow it works for her.
Well, I'd like to suggest it doesn't necessarily work for her, but that's why she's taking off her top. because then you're not looking at the gap.
Maybe she's hot enough that you're willing to overlook the gap.
Yeah, or maybe you're looking for a flaw. I don't know.
Some people think that's hot. They do. They do.
I think it's sexy on her, in my opinion.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I think she's sexy.
Yeah.
But
I
think the gap in the teeth is a little distracting.
Yeah.
So. Especially if she becomes a vampire, you know.
Well, that's a great tip because guys like me who don't watch True Blood now at least know to go and TiVo this week's episode.
Exactly.
Well, she's in bed with a guy who's not her boyfriend last night. That's all I'll tell you.
Oh,
okay.
Don't give too much away, man.
Kerry, thanks for the call. Have a great time at Epicenter this weekend, dude. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Wow. He got in just like that. Nice.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Robert. Hey, Robert.
Hey, you guys need to stop talking to fighters.
Yeah.
You guys are running curses. No, I'm dead serious.
No, I'm starting to believe it.
if Toronto had not had the ref step in, she would have excelled in the next two rounds. And you guys have botched this for me. I cannot believe that you guys are talking to my fighters and you're killing them all.
Well, I don't know that we're killing them, but...
We're still running them into the ground, though.
Well, we are 3 for 3 in the last 2 weeks.
We did talk to Miguel Torres,
mm-hmm.
And then we talked to Forrest Griffin,
mm-hmm.
and then we talked to Gina Carano. All three, maybe not at the top of their game when they fought.
No, I wouldn't say that.
But
Carano was at the top of her game.
Well, I don't mean...
10 months off.
I don't mean in general. I mean that night.
Right.
They had a little bit of trouble. And I'd like to suggest that perhaps there were other factors. It's not as simple as just blaming it on us.
Well, I'm blaming it on you.
Okay.
That simple.
That's fair.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're to blame, especially Bean. If he can't come into the studio,
right.
Which I'm absolutely shocked about, I don't know how you guys are doing this, what island he's on off California, but that island needs to go nuclear or something and just become a, one-mile island?
Wait, because Gina Carano lost, I need to die? I just want to make sure I understand the logic.
No, it's not just that.
It's not just that.
You can't make it to the studio. What is your problem?
Yeah, what is your problem?
Well, that's that makes Gina Carano happy when I'm not there, believe me.
Swim! If there's sharks, get a taser or something.
All right, Robert, take it easy.
You were so close to getting those tickets.
Robert, take it easy. We don't want him here.
It was a group decision.
That's right.
Oh.
So take it easy.
I've only been listening for the last year.
Listen, there's history, my friend.
I'm suggesting that perhaps Gina Carano's training or, game plan or, the cyborg dude, that guy, maybe that person trained better. I'm saying it might not just be our interviews.
Well, the game plan of curling up into a ball and covering up didn't really help at all.
No, I don't think that's necessarily a good game plan.
The fact that she didn't employ the plum at all.
Well, look, all I care about is, was she more likely to do Playboy if she lost or if she won? And I haven't figured out what the answer is yet.
Well, you guys got to stop talking about it.
All right, listen, we got your message.
We're talking to the other people, the people we want to see lose.
Okay,
all right. You've outstayed your welcome, my friend. So hang on for your prize.
That's what we're going to do, Robert. We're going to call you before each fight and see who you want to lose, and then we'll talk to them. I don't think that's too much to ask. All right, let's see. Anyone else? Suge Knight?
Let's talk to Josh. I haven't heard this story yet. Is there something going on? Is there some Tiger Woods scandal I don't know about?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing? What it do?
What it do?
Yeah, Tiger Woods, there was a big deal. Like last year, Gary Player was making a fuss about how they need to start steroid testing. Then next thing you know, Tiger Woods gets all pumped up, and the whole story just goes away. I just think it might be some kind of conspiracy or something that they just don't care because Tiger Woods is bringing in all the revenue.
Because he's the guy that causes so many people to watch TV?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I had not heard that, but it's interesting that he didn't win a major tournament this year either, by the way. I wonder.
Oh, yeah, he got punked out by Y.E. Yang yesterday.
Yeah. Hey! Look, it's golf. If you can better yourself and make it more interesting with steroids, go do that.
They should all be juicing.
Yes.
I didn't even know there were rules against steroids in golf because it's not a sport, so why would they? That's like saying you can't be a crossing guard if you're on steroids. What difference does it make?
I just thought it was funny how there was such a big deal and they were going to start testing and then all of a sudden it just got shut up.
Yeah, well,
that's interesting. Tiger Woods was on it.
Could be.
Well, I'm sure our so-called President Obama had something to do with it.
He's only our so-called president.
Exactly. All right, dude, hang on for your prize. Thank you very much for the call.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Olivia Munn.
Ah! Oh!
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Ah!
Jerry Cantrell.
Oh!
Yeah.
Guitarist singer for a band you might know named Alice in Chains.
Mm-hmm.
Spread 'em at Bardo recap today.
Excellent.
Singles party from last
Friday. Yes, we're going to want your phone calls if you were there around 7:30 or so. We're going to be talking about that again.
Michael Vick eats dogs. That's what we found out last night on 60 Minutes.
I'm not sure that's true.
I didn't watch it. I just am assuming.
I don't think he ate them.
Okay. All right. We have the grand prize, something to send somebody to see Green Day in Las Vegas.
Nice.
And we're going to talk to Chester Bennington.
Wow.
Okay.
Lead singer for Linkin Park, and he's got his own project now.
Okay.
So that's not bad, right?
Not bad at all.
It's a pretty decent show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I'm so glad you stepped in because Kevin will not stop talking about last night's return of Mad Men. I mean, that's all he cares about. You know how he is about the Mad Men. He won't shut up about it.
He's mad for Mad Men. That's what he is.
He's just crazy. Just on and on and on. Oh, did you see this? Oh, can you believe that happened?
Well, it's been off for so long. I mean, it seemed like it was off for a year and a half or something.
I know. You've just been dying. You've been chomping at the bit for the season three's episode one. I know.
Oh, wait. I taped it.
Oh, that's right. And you haven't gotten through the first episode of season one yet.
Say, I'm not sure I taped it. Actually,
you know what? Screw you. You don't get to watch it. You shouldn't watch it.
I have stuff to do.
It'd be wasted on you.
I have things to do.
It'd be like reading Shakespeare to a monkey.
But, Kevin, you know, you don't even have to watch the first two seasons. You could have just picked it up starting last night for the new season and the new storylines.
No, you really couldn't.
Yeah.
Sure you can. Bean, it would mean so much less.
I agree, but
last night's episode, that being your first episode ever of Mad Men?
I agree. I'm not saying it's as satisfying as seeing them all up till this point, but you don't have to wait until the thing goes off the air to watch it. I'm just saying.
Listen,
newspapers and magazines have all done recaps in the last week of who everybody is and why they're doing what
they're doing. Like Kevin can read. Would you stop it?
How dare you?
I'm just trying to get him on board because I think he'd love the show this season.
No,
that's
he's
all.
Had every chance. Now just
here's what I know. Here's what I know about that show. Though they sure did like the smoke.
That is true.
You're right.
Smoke
that's what the show is. Don't bother watching. You're absolutely right. That's all they did. It's just a show about smoking.
All right. Good.
You're right.
We're all the same.
You win.
They drink too, by the way. That happens.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm in. Ralph's here for the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm glad I live in a universe where Mad Men exists. That's all I got to say. The end of last night's show, I was like, I need another episode right now. I cannot wait a week. That's how good it was. Best hour on television. Head exploded.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? District 9. How about some District 9, people?
How did it do? The movie theater that I saw it in was jam-packed.
Yeah.
$37 million
wow.
It made.
Wow. Good for them.
Yeah.
No star. I mean, that's amazing.
Nope, just some grassroots sort of guerrilla advertising. You know, it's, of course, the Comic-Con did worlds of good for it because it got a lot of buzz when we talked about it there, but did very well for itself.
And you know what I heard? Based on a true story.
It's absolutely true, yeah. Yes.
Makes it's interesting, by the way, for all the blame the listeners are willing to lie on us for the curse. You know, yeah. We had the director and the star of District 9. Nobody's calling in saying that we helped make that movie popular.
Well, it's because
it doesn't work in reverse.
It's because it's me. Because I, you know, I gave it my blessing. That's why I got the number one. You know?
Oh, you're not. You don't have anything to do with the curse.
With Kevin and Bean. No, it's Kevin and Bean curse, not the Kevin and Bean Ralph curse.
How dare you?
It's not
you.
The Ralph curse. It's the Kevin and Bean curse. You guys are the killers.
There is no such thing.
Tell that to Gina Carano. Poor Gina Carano getting ground and pounded. Talk to you guys.
Dare you?
Yeah. Did you see it, Kevin? Did you see District 9?
I did. Yeah.
What'd you think?
Loved.
I thought you
loved.
Would.
Loved.
Got an email this morning from a listener who said, "You're an idiot. It was horrible. The worst movie ever.
Really?
Writing was embarrassing. Blair Witch photography. You don't know what you're talking about. It was awful." And I simply wrote back, "Wrong, period." Because you're just wrong. If you don't like this movie, you're just wrong.
You fail.
There are some things that are just not up for debate. There is no room for objectivity. Some things are just good. And this movie's one of them. $37 million made it number one at the box office. Right behind that was G.I. Joe. $22.5 million. Then Time Traveler's Wife made $19.2 million. Julie and Julia was number four. G-Force was fifth. The Goods, Live Hard, Sell Hard, in its debut, made a little over $6 million, making it number six.
Ralph, I have a question for you on that.
Yes?
I looked for The Goods.
You did?
And it was in, like, one of the 12 theaters that I checked. I mean, it wasn't in any...
Theaters are pretty full these days with all this stuff. I get the feeling that The Goods will expand.
Oh, okay.
As the weeks progress.
I was surprised that it wasn't.
Didn't open as many screens as a lot of other movies did. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, number seven. The Ugly Truth, Ponyo, and 500 Days of Summer, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Don't you know, I saw the new photos of Sienna Miller. She and her new boyfriend were out on the boat, her in a bikini. She likes to be semi-clad to fully nude a lot.
She does. Like, she's like a little kid that just wants to take her clothes off.
Just the minute she gets in the house, she must just rip everything off and start running around naked.
And that's good.
But she was on the boat with her new boyfriend, DJ Slinky Wizard.
Now, how many kids does he have?
He is single and has no children as far as we
know.
What?
Really?
Yep.
DJ Slinky Wizard doesn't have a wife.
Slinky Wizard is a single man and apparently has no children.
Yeah.
So this is really a step up for her, considering her last boyfriend had four kids and was married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sienna's trying a new thing of dating someone who is actually available. And I can imagine it's not nearly as much fun for her.
No.
Sure. Let me ask you this, Lisa May.
Yes.
The guy's awesome, but he goes by DJ Slinky Wizard. Can you look past that and still date him?
I don't think I can.
Yeah.
Who are you dating, honey?
That's terrible name.
Slink.
Wiz.
There's no way. Yeah, there's no way to make that sound good.
S-Dub. That's what I'd call him, S-Dub.
S-Dub.
Yeah. The Wiz. He's on down the road, the Wiz.
Slinky Wizard.
Yeah. Congratulations to Sarah Chalk of Clubs. What? Of Scrubs. She will soon be shopping in the maternity department. She's going to have a baby.
Oh, no kidding.
She and her fiance are expecting their first child together this winter. Congratulations to Sarah. Also pregnant, actress Amy Ryan, who you probably remember as Holly from The Office. She was Michael's crush, the human resources gal. She and her fiance, comedy writer Eric Slavin, are going to have a baby in October. And congratulations to Alyssa Milano.
Yes.
Who's now off the market. She got married this weekend.
in her home state of New Jersey with David Bugliara, who inexplicably is neither a hockey player nor a baseball player.
What? Wow. How did that happen?
He is an agent. Works for CAA, one of the super-powered agencies here in
town.
Does
she know that?
I'm not sure if he has told her that he is not a professional athlete yet. But I can't understand why she would be.
She's going to be very disappointed at some point when she wakes up and realizes that. That's not for her.
Honey, what time are you going to hockey today?
No, I'm going to the office. I'm an agent.
What?
Well, at least you represent athletes, right? No, I represent actors.
What?
Annulment. And remember how I told you that Hugh Hefner, my Lord and Savior, paid $1 million so he could be buried next to Marilyn Monroe when his time comes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently there's a cottage industry now blossoming up around Marilyn's death. The guy that lives upstairs from Marilyn is moving out. His widow, Richard Poncher, is the guy who is buried in the crypt directly above Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
His widow, Elsie, has decided to move his remains and sell the location.
Really?
When she found out that real estate was prime and worth as much as it was, she is going to vacate her husband the premises. He's been evicted. And she's going to find someplace else to put him. And she's going to sell off that crypt that is immediately above Marilyn Monroe, hoping that some other Uber fan will shell out. Shell out big money in order to live next to their idol.
She just throw her husband away? Just throw it in the trash?
They're expecting to get at least $500,000, at least $500,000.
Wow.
And Elsie will use that cash to pay off her mortgage. Interestingly enough, the inscription on his tomb, and I kid you not, is "To the man who gave us everything and more." So Richard continues to keep on giving even in the afterlife.
I'd like to suggest that you don't have access to Marilyn. I mean, it's not like just because you're
drill
next door.
Hole, like you have a glory hole in a crypt.
Right,
but you're dead, though.
That's the best band name. That's the best band ever.
Glory hole in the crypt?
Yeah.
That'd be a little lengthy. Might want to make that your first album.
All right.
Yeah. But you're dead, though, and she's dead, so I don't know that you really get the benefits of being on top of Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, so you know you've been dead? You know what it's like? You know whether you have sex or not when you're dead?
Well, I'm just saying it seems unlikely.
You sit around watching corpses all day to make sure they don't hump? You know something?
Well, you could be right there. Maybe at night when we're not looking, maybe they're going for it.
I saw a movie once where these kids came out of a movie theater, and then they were walking, and all of a sudden the dead came to life, and they started dancing.
Really?
Saw it.
Wow.
Happened.
Well, that happened.
Yep. That's what I'm talking about. Today's celebrity birthdays, Donnie Wahlberg of the New Kids on the Block is 40 years old today. That's just sad. First of all, that you still call yourself a kid on the block. And second of all, you still call yourself Donnie. Stop it. You're 40.
How old do you have to get before Don is Don?
Yeah, when do you stop being Donnie of the New Kids? 40? That's a good cutoff, don't you think?
Well, he looks at Donny Osmond, who's 50 now, yep. And still goes by that.
Wrong. Incorrect. Murder button.
For a lot of reasons. He doesn't know who Donny Osmond is, first of all.
Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses is 47 years old today. When do you stop being Gilby? When do you just become Gilb? Maybe it doesn't work in that particular case. Sean Penn's 49 years old today. Belinda Carlisle, former lead singer for the Go-Go's, is 51 freaking years old today. How did that happen?
Wow.
Robert De Niro is 66. And Kevin Rowland. That name may not be familiar to you, but he will live forever in our dreams with his song with Dexy's Midnight Runners. Remember Come On Eileen?
Come on Eileen, oh I swear.
Yeah.
At this moment,
that's right. Come On Eileen. Filthiest one-hit wonder ever.
Yeah.
He is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So, Kevin, you were busy watching Mad Men last night, so maybe you missed the 60 Minutes interview.
And see that so
did
much.
Did you see the 60 Minutes interview?
I didn't see that, no. I had stuff, man. I got things.
How busy is this dude, Ralph?
I'm the busiest man alive.
You're the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah. Stay thirsty, right. My friends.
You don't always drink beer, but when you do.
we're going to find out when we go to Kevin's funeral, which, based on Friday night, is going to be very soon.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to find out. There's going to be all these people who are going to stand up and talk about this secret life that we didn't know we had. Like, guys will get up and go, he was the best CIA agent I ever met. You know? Right. We're going to be like, wow, that's what he was doing.
When he captained our search and rescue team and we go out with the Coast Guard and pick up lost people.
A lot of stuff, right, I can't tell you guys about.
Yeah. So I guess you could say that it was we're near the beginning of the rehabilitation tour for Michael Vick. Now, he is, for folks who don't recognize the name, he is a professional football player, one time the highest paid player in NFL history, if I remember that correctly, guys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he just recently got out of jail. He served 18 months of a 23-month sentence for running a dog fighting ring, had all sorts of charges involved in running the ring for 6 years out of his home and betting and money going across state lines and everything like that. So then he gets out of jail, and then what happens? Well, he's looking for work, and the Philadelphia Eagles last week decide that they're going to take a chance on Michael Vick and bring him into the program.
They think so, every one of our fans is worse than that guy. It's a perfect city.
So obviously there's a public relations angle to this for Michael Vick, because he'd like to get back some of those tens of millions of endorsement dollars in addition to being able to, you know, play on a team and make a living, right? So he sits down with James Brown from CBS Sports special edition of 60 Minutes last night, and we'll play some comments from Mr. Vick, and then we want to take your phone calls and find out what you think about what he said and what you think about what's going on with the story. So here we go from last night's 60 Minutes.
And the operation, Michael, that you pleaded guilty to bankrolling, to being a part of, engaged in barbarous treatment of the animals, beating them, shooting them, electrocuting them, drowning them. Horrific things, Michael. What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Who let the dogs out?
It was wrong, JB. And, you know, I feel tremendous hurt behind what happened. And, you know, I should have took the initiative to stop it all, you know, and I didn't. I didn't step up. I wasn't the leader.
60 Minutes, by the way, did not add the Baja Boys.
Oh, yeah.
That was perhaps Kevin. So he's...
You know what bugs me about that? I didn't step in.
Like, he wasn't running
it. I should have stopped. Like, he wasn't actively doing it.
Yeah.
No, he was saying he was the one who could have stopped it all. He was the only one who could have ended it.
I know, but honestly.
And he said that he didn't.
The way he phrased it makes it sound like he wasn't the mastermind. He ran this place.
No, he admitted to all that. He copped all that.
I know, but just the way he says it, and I feel tremendous hurt. As opposed to
guilt. So he didn't say it
guilt.
The way you
yeah,
wanted him to say it?
And I think that's telling.
No, it was weak.
I don't think it's telling at all.
I think Lisa is hitting on a nerve, though, that is rubbing a lot of people wrong about this. And I think there are two different things going on here. One is, has he done his time in jail, paid his debts to society, and should he be free to work? I can accept that. I mean,
yeah,
I think that's true. The other part is, do you personally accept his apology, or does it look like his apology is weak sauce in that he seems more sorry that he got caught and more sorry that he lost what he lost than he is about the pain that he inflicted on the animals? And that, I think, is what's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way.
Well, why do you have to personally accept his apology?
I don't, but I have the option.
The option of
accepting his apology or not.
Which means what?
I don't buy it.
Which means
all.
If we don't buy it, we think he's still a douchebag.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it. That's all.
Well, isn't that what we're talking about?
No, I think we're talking about the people who are furious that this guy is working again.
I think he should be able to work.
That he's in the NFL, that he's been hired. I think people think he hasn't paid enough somehow, that somehow something else needs to happen to him. I mean, that seems to be the real debate. People were furious that he's allowed to play football again, that he's allowed to make X number of dollars and have a position of high profile, and the people who don't seem to mind that. I think that's what really the debate is going on in America, more so than do you buy his apology or not?
I think that's definitely a discussion being had as well.
We do want to take your phone calls on this if you have thoughts on the topic either way at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a little more of the interview with James Brown.
Do you understand why people are outraged?
I understand why. And I'm going to say it again. Sick as meat to my stomach. And it was, you know, the same feeling I'm feeling right now is what people was feeling.
And the feeling you're feeling right now is?
Disgust. Pure disgust.
By the way, I thought that at one point James Brown was going to leap out of his chair and beat Vick to death.
Was he angry? I mean, was he combative?
Well, no, he just held his feet to the fire in terms of you know, responding to the questions.
He really did. He was, it was like an interrogation scene in a cop movie, is really what it looked like.
When did you arrive at that feeling of disgust, Michael? When did the light go on?
When I was in prison. When I was in prison, I was disgusted, you know, because of what I let happen to those animals.
Okay, that's exactly, by the way, what Lisa's talking about. What he let happen to those animals is really kind of, you're kind of letting yourself off the hook. If you're the guy who picked up dogs, Picture your poor Reggie, Ralph. Somebody picks that dog up and smashes it into the ground to kill it after it's been in a dog fight. Yeah. That's not letting it happen. That's doing it to the dog.
Look, the thing is, though, in my opinion, it's really about him not ever doing it again. It's about him being a productive member of society and doing whatever he can in order to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Right.
I think that's all you can ask of anyone who commits a crime is to live by the rules and the standards that society sets up and to be a more productive citizen.
And I agree.
My standard was last night, do I think that he is going to go back to dog fighting or injuring dogs? No, I never see that happening again.
And I agree with you.
As a society, that's the best that we can hope for. His genuineness or his feelings about what he did, that's between him and his God and his family and the people who have to live directly around him. For the rest of us, all that matters is that he stays within the bounds that we ask people to live in.
But I feel like his efforts on the behalf of the Humane Society, which is how he's going to spend some of his time now, in going around and trying to talk to those kids who grew up in the same kind of culture that he did, where dog fighting is acceptable, I feel like he would be much more effective if he really believed what he did was wrong rather than saying what he did was wrong because it landed him in jail. And that's the impression I keep getting from him. I really do feel like he's more sorry he got caught than what he did to those dogs.
Yeah,
it still doesn't seem to me like he thinks much.
If that's the culture he was raised in, then you're not going to be able to change that.
Right, but
I'm just saying the best that you can hope for.
I'm saying, yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying he would be more effective to stop other people from heading down that path if he understood why it was so bad, rather than just that he got caught and that you go to jail if you do it. You know, you understand? I mean, it's a fine distinction, and maybe I'm asking too much, and maybe the best we can hope is that this one person who was convicted doesn't do it again. But it'd be great if this message. They said last night in that 60 Minutes special that there are 40,000 dogfighting rings in the United States right now.
Isn't that unbelievable?
No, 100,000.
No,
40 professional, 100,000 total, including street fights.
Wow.
Yeah, including street fights.
All right, a little bit more, and then we'll take a break and get to your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067.
I could have put a stop to it. I could have walked away from it.
But you
didn't. I could have set the whole operation down.
But you didn't,
but
and
I
why
didn't.
Not? What was keeping you going?
Not being able to say or tell, you know, certain people around me that, look, we can't do this anymore. I'm concerned about my career. I'm concerned about my family.
So for the cynics who will say, you know what? I don't know. Michael Vick might be more concerned about the fact that his career was hurt than dogs were hurt.
I mean, football don't even matter.
He didn't come to the conclusion, we have to stop this people around me who are helping me with the dogfighting ring because it's cruel and inhumane. He came to the conclusion because he got caught and his career was in jeopardy.
Well, how do you expect him to believe that, Bean, when he was 8 years old, he was surrounded by a culture that told him dogfighting was okay? How do you expect him to come to that decision on his own?
Because he's had this much time now, and it still doesn't seem like the dogs are what bothers him. What he did to the dogs doesn't seem like what he's taking responsibility for. That's my complaint.
I agree. But he's taking responsibility for not talking to other people about whatever. What about you?
No, but he was talking about when it happened before he went to jail. They were asking him, why did he keep doing it? And to expect him to live otherwise before he got caught, I think, is foolish. I don't think it would have been possible for him to realize it before he got caught, that it was wrong.
Although, he knew it was illegal, and he knew if he got caught, bad things would happen.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of guys who are raised in the culture he was raised in do a lot of illegal things, and he was surrounded by all his homies from Virginia, where he grew up in that hometown, and this was the way that they lived their lives.
But obviously, he had an awareness that society deems that wrong.
Right.
Would this be your take if he wasn't playing for the East Coast Raiders?
I had this opinion weeks ago before any of this
all
happened.
Right.
I think if this was a person that he had killed, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. I think America's got a nerve when it comes to their pets that just sets people's teeth on edge in a way that no other crime does.
But I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right, and that definitely plays a part. But for people who would compare this to Dante Stallworth, for instance, who served a month in jail or something like that, look, that was drunk driving, and that's irresponsible and reprehensible. But it's also actually a mistake. It's not Dante Stallworth's intent to go out and kill a guy that day.
Right.
This Michael Vick, his intent was to maim, injure, and then torture those dogs, and it was frequently. It was repeatedly. There's a big difference in intent and the person you're talking about. Accepting the victims aside, I'm not equating the dogs versus the humans, but I am saying the kind of person who does what Michael Vick does is evil. The kind of person who does what Dante Stallworth does is stupid. There's a big difference.
It's evil from your perspective because you were raised the way you were raised. And you may or may not believe that a person's environment and culture and upbringing has an influence on these things, but I absolutely do. A great piece this weekend about this guy's father, who was never in his life, and when he did return into his life when he was a young teenager, the thing that he brought to do with Michael so they could bond and have father and son time was he built his son a dogfighting pit. And they started a business with him. That was the event that they shared when he came back into his life.
It's all about family.
It's hard for us to wrap our minds around what living in a warped society like that, with that perspective, could do to someone with that kind of upbringing. It's hard for you to recognize.
No, I totally agree with that. I mean, I take that into consideration. I mean, he was exposed to it starting from 8 years old. I mean, he told a story on 60 Minutes last night, Kevin, about how the cops showed up one time in his neighborhood, saw dogfighting was going on, and kept on going because to them it wasn't even a big deal.
I mean, right and wrong, evil and good, they're relative terms depending on what you're exposed to and how you're taught.
Right, but there's also a certain age where you're responsible for your behavior, no matter what your upbringing was. I mean, really. You can't use that excuse for his whole life.
And certainly some people were exposed the way that he was and determined that to be horrible.
All right. We need to leave it right there so we have some time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. What about the dogs, Michael? What about the dogs? We'll take your calls next on The Kevin and Bean Show. Is Olivia Munn here yet?
No.
I don't think
Then I don't care what else.
A couple hours.
I don't care what we're talking about then because it can't compare. Anyway, Olivia Munn, also Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains, and Chester Bennington all coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're talking about the Michael Vick interview last night on 60 Minutes. When's he going to play for the Birds? When's his first time in uniform, Ralph?
I don't know. He's at practice now, and I'm guessing he'll show up in a couple of the remaining. He's got three preseason games still to show up in, but I think the commissioner still hasn't said when he can start playing, if he can play.
What do you think the reaction is going to be to him in opposing stadiums? You think everyone will boo?
Oh, of course,
just because a chance to, for any reason?
That gives them a reason, absolutely, to be very vocal in their disgust. Look, there's people in the city of Philadelphia who are protesting and complaining. It's a very politically charged situation.
All right, this is a tough one to get your head around, but let's take some calls. We'll start with Jennifer, 1-800-520-1067. She is on line 2. Jennifer, thank you for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I am disgusted that they're letting him play football at all. I watched his interview last night, and to me, he didn't seem like he cared about the dogs at all. He was asked, what he thought about what he had done, and he said, I'm sorry I didn't think about my family, and I'm sorry how I didn't think about how it was going to affect my friends and my football team. And he never once mentioned about what he actually did to those animals.
I think that's true, too, Jennifer, 100%, except for when it comes to him playing. To me, he served 18 months in jail, so that's all even on that front. He should be able to play. I mean, I don't like him for the same reason you're saying.
You think he should be kept from making a living because he committed a crime?
I think he should be kept from making a living in a role where he is a role model to children, to other people, who he is basically saying that this is acceptable and that I can do a small amount of time, because 18 months for doing 6 years of dogfighting.
Have you ever spent 18 months in prison?
I have not spent 18
Have you ever spent a night in prison?
I have not spent a night in prison.
Yeah, well, when that cell door clangs shut, trust me, it's the worst feeling you've ever had in your life.
And he lost.
I am a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. I'm a huge football fan.
Well, then you're flawed from the very beginning.
See, by the way, I don't buy the role model thing either.
I think we have to let that go.
He's just a guy who plays football. And if you're allowing your kids to see those people as role models, then you need to reconsider your parenting skills, I think.
I'd also like to add to Jennifer, too, by the way, beyond the 18 months in prison, a $130 million contract that he lost, plus his endorsements, right? I mean, tens and tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars you also have to keep in mind as being penalties that he also paid as a result of the arrest and conviction. So there is more to it than just the time in jail. All right, let's squeeze in one more before the break. Phil is on the line. He's on line 3. Hey, Phil, thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Lisa May.
What do you think?
I kind of bring an interesting. I think that the fact that they're allowing him to play is acceptable because he did his time. But the travesty in this whole thing is that someone can spend 6 years planning out something as horrific as dogfighting and only serve 20. Well, he only served 18 of the 23 months. That's the first problem. Allowing him to play, I think it's going to be up to the American people. If they accept him and what kind of negative or positive that brings into the NFL and to the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not a fan of the Eagles, but I do know they have an interesting fan base. I work in
and interesting, meaning they've all served 18 months for something.
Right. I work in South Los Angeles for about 15 years for animal services, so I deal with dogfighting on almost a weekly basis.
Wow.
We arrest people for this crime. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how many years I work in the industry, and I'm not the most passionate animal control person that there is, but there's a lot of passionate folks out there, and a lot of those folks watch football, and a lot of them buy these products that are you know, being advertised on the games. I think it's going to be very interesting. Being allowed to play, sure. Serving 18 months for what he did to those animals, that's the crime. The state that it happened, and he's lucky. And he also had some pretty good lawyers helping him out along the way. And this is all fluff. I mean, he's saying everything and doing everything just so he can get those millions of dollars back. He doesn't care about the animals. And it's obvious. But letting him play football, go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. 1-800-520-1067. A few more calls when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. What about the dogs, Michael? What about the dogs?
What about the dogs?
Who let the dogs out?
Talking about Philadelphia Eagle Michael Vick. He's been picked up after serving his time for dogfighting. Very controversial decision, some say. 1-800-520-1067. I think they're going to throw milk bones, right, Ralph? I mean, that's clearly what's going to await him when he goes on the road, right?
There's rumors of dog collars, of milk bones, of water dishes. There's any number of things they could throw.
Look, away fans, the fans that are not your fans, they find anything they can to just harass him about. This is going to be a godsend for every other team except for the Eagles.
I may have changed my mind because I just got a very passionate email from a young lady who said that Michael and, by extension, myself, were going to hell because dog spelled backwards is God.
But you didn't,
ladies and gentlemen.
So
I didn't even realize that.
I didn't realize that. Now I changed my idea because I didn't know that happened.
But you're joking.
That actually was one of her arguments. Yeah.
Really?
That dog spelled backwards is God.
We have to talk
keep that
to
in
her.
Mind.
That's the best.
Yeah. No outrage if it were cats. By the way, I'd like
no,
to point
well,
that.
Cats, right. Cats backwards is tack.
Let's talk to Sharon real quick on line six, and then Joey, you hang on. We're going to get to you as well. Sharon, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for holding on. What can we do for you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good morning.
I am appalled. The man had absolutely no remorse whatsoever. His contrition was as disingenuous as one could get.
I think so, too, but do you think he should be kept out of the NFL because of that?
I think he needs to tie the full year salary and donate it to an animal sanctuary.
Well, he did spend $1 million or more dollars toward the rehab of the animals that survived his dogfighting ring, so he definitely is contributing there. He's contributing his time to travel for the Humane Society to give speeches around the country. I mean, it's not like he walks away from this and doesn't think about it anymore. He is continuing to give back.
However, his argument was that he did not know that it was illegal. How do you not know that to take the life of something living and breathing isn't legal?
No, he knew that.
I don't remember him ever saying he didn't think it was illegal. He just thought it was okay because of the way he was brought up.
So it's okay to murder somebody, too, because that's the way you were brought up.
All right, take it easy.
That doesn't make any sense.
All right, take it easy, Sharon.
I'm sorry. It's an appalling thing that the life of an animal can be so devalued that it's okay to allow him to make a living again.
So let me ask you this. If he had worked as a DirecTV installer and had been convicted of dogfighting and got out of jail, would you have any problem with getting his old job back?
No, but I would allow him to install DirecTV in a compound in East LA with hungry pit bulls.
Yes.
So, wow. All right. So you want to make up your mind about how people should be treated when they get out of jail, depending on what crime they do. You should make the final decisions.
I've actually often thought that people who committed heinous crimes should be used to test drugs to save people's lives.
I like it.
All right.
I like it.
Times.
All right, Sharon, thank you very much. Let's make a note to not rob Sharon at any point.
I sense that Sharon has several issues going on at the same time.
And a lot of pets.
Joey is on line four.
And not too many dates.
On the Kevin and Bean Show. Look, I totally understand the passion that she has against this crime. I get that. But you're limited as a citizen as what you can do to somebody else. We do have laws in place that direct what the punishment is going to be
for
your
crime.
I saw
Dexter.
That's true.
What's going on?
Joey, real quick, what do you got?
Well, I wanted to agree with you. I'm not sure who the intelligent gentleman was there that said the DirecTV point, but mine was, you know, if he worked at Burger King, nobody would be giving him any grief. He committed the crime.
They'd be checking the burgers, though. That's what they'd be doing. You know, they'd be checking.
Yeah, you know, he did it already. If he had any other career, he would face less discrimination. I don't think he deserves what he's getting. He did the crime. He did the time financially. He's paying for it. It's time to move on.
But yeah, I think
you can't undo
it.
That's true.
You can't undo it, right? I think what people are saying, you know, somebody brought up earlier about the role model thing, and I think Ralph is right. These athletes aren't role models anymore, but I think it rubs people the wrong way to see somebody like Michael Vick, a guy that you might find personally hateable, making $1.5 million and coming into a stadium to 50,000 people cheering for him. I think that's what rubs some people the wrong way.
Yeah, that's only going
to
happen at home.
Well, then the only choice you have is to not then participate in the other end of that. Don't buy a ticket or don't watch a game or don't buy a jersey or do whatever you need to do. But say he hasn't apologized to you personally enough is just ridiculous.
If the PR is bad enough, the team will cut him loose. I mean, it's not, they're not going to take him no matter what.
So let's close with Mike on line 8. Unfortunately, he's going to get the final word here today. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Mike.
Just want to let you guys know, I was born and raised animal lover, and I'm a diehard Eagle fan, and I went the next day after they knew what Michael Vick's number was, and I bought my dog an Eagle jersey.
Sweet irony. I love it. You bought your dog a Michael Vick jersey.
Absolutely. I got a Boston Terrier, and we've come to realize that he did his crime, he did his time, and he's not going back to be a veterinarian. He's going to go play football.
All right. And you're an Eagles fan.
I'm a diehard Eagles fan. Right. I can't wait for this season to jump off. I'm got a couple connections out in Philly. I'm trying to get there to see a game so I can buy a authentic big jacket, hopefully Vic's name on it.
There you go.
I heard there's going to be a lot of people selling Beagles jerseys this year.
Yes.
B-E-A-G-L-E-S.
All right. Thanks, dude.
And all those guys are haters because Vic's not on their team.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
That's
but
not
it
me,
could
but.
Be some of them. It could be some people that way. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. Half hour from now, we are going to do the grand prize drawing to send somebody to see Green Day in Las Vegas. They get the airfare. They get the hotel.
Oh, I hope I win.
Tickets, backstage passes, a guitar that's signed.
I hope I win.
Everything. That's coming up a half hour from right now. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 6:54.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Chester Bennington from Linkin Park has a side band called Dead by Sunrise. We'll hear their debut single coming up in about 10 minutes or so, then talk to Chester on the phone from Hong Kong and find out about this weekend's Epicenter concert. That's straight ahead on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains later on. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the hot movies at the box office over the weekend. And District 9 was the big winner this weekend. $37 million made it number one at the box office. You know, the movie cost $30 million to make. So already,
already
they've made a profit of $7 million in 1 week.
That was an impressive movie.
I agree with you. I was really
I think it's great. The only negative I've heard about that movie, and this comes along every once in a while with a handheld film, is that there are some people who cannot take that style and literally have had to get up and walk out of theaters because it's just too jerky for them.
I don't think it's nearly as bad as a lot of them.
I didn't either.
It didn't bother me either. But I've heard a lot of reports of that happening. Some people just get too dizzy watching those kind of movies.
I thought the camera shook more during the Bourne movies than it did in this movie, quite frankly. And because it's a documentary, I mean, you have to replicate that style to a certain extent. But I thought the mix of sort of narrative versus documentary footage was really pretty strong.
The other thing I thought was there probably could have been more black throw-up. But I'm not sure how. I needed more of that.
There was a lot of black throw-up.
There was throw-up that was black, and there was plenteous. That's what I'm saying.
How great were the prawns, though?
The prawns were awesome.
It's a great creature. I mean, that's one of those creatures I think it's going to live in moviedom for some time. It's just a very unique, freaky-looking creature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Dug it. G.I. Joe is number two at the box office, $22.5 million. The Time Traveler's Wife made $19.2 million, made it number three. Then Julie and Julia was number four. G-Force came in at number five. The Goods with Jeremy Piven was sixth at the box office this weekend. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince was seven. Then The Ugly Truth, Ponyo, and 50 Days of Summer. Every time I see Ponyo, I want to say porno.
Yeah.
By the way, Ponyo has made $188 million worldwide already.
Yeah, it's a huge hit internationally.
How crazy is that?
Not so much here in the States. We'll have to wait and see what happens. It's official. Finally, after months of speculation, we know exactly who the celebrity dancers are going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Thank God.
Whoa.
I'm so excited.
I'm between seasons. I'm cool.
I am chagrined to say that Lou Ferrigno did not make the list.
What? That is the only thing I was looking forward to.
None of us watch it. I don't know why we're making a big deal out of it.
I'd watch it if Lou Ferrigno was out there just blundering around.
No, he's not in it.
He's not doing it this year. Here is your list of celebrities who are competing. 16 celebrities, by the way, the largest cast ever on the show.
Wow. Okay.
It's more than ever. Kathy Ireland, former supermodel Kathy Ireland.
She was a supermodel when?
80s.
20 years ago?
Yeah. But still, she looks terrific. Macy Gray.
Come on. This
heavily
is
stoned singer Macy Gray will be dancing.
Crazy. Yes.
And first eliminated, I'm sure.
Melissa Joan Hart. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh.
Which seems unfair because she's got magic powers and junk.
True.
That's true.
Maya. Singer Maya.
Oh.
Who's been in a few other reality shows. She's coming back. Ashley Hamilton, ex-husband of Shannon Doherty.
Okay.
And I believe he's the son of George Hamilton, the actor, as well.
I think you're right, yeah.
Michael Irvin, retired football player. Speaking of role models in professional football.
Is he the one who found the crack pipe on a friend?
That's why he had the crack pipe, Kevin, because it was his friend's and he took it off him.
That guy's the
best. In order to keep his friend from smoking crack.
And he wears full-length furs and stuff?
He sure does.
Oh, that's the best.
Mark Dacascos.
What?
Have we moved out of the celebrity realm?
No, he's a celebrity.
He's someone in the audience at Dancing with the Stars?
Says here, Iron Chef America is his credit.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
He's a cook.
Donny Osmond of the legendary Osmonds.
Wow. His sister did it.
Yeah, that's right.
Kelly Osbourne of the legendary Osbournes. She's going to dance
and complain.
I want Ozzy to do it.
Debbie Mazar. Actress we were just talking about the other day. It was her birthday. We're talking about her work on Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Liddell.
Shut up!
MMA's Chuck Liddell.
Shut up!
Will be Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yes!
Natalie Coughlin, who is an Olympic swimmer, apparently.
Okay.
Unless she's underwater, I think she'll be at a disadvantage.
I thought you said Chuck Liddell.
I did say Chuck Liddell.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Joanna Krupa. Swimsuit model. Stunning, stunning model.
Okay, she's only really hot.
She is very, very hot.
Yeah.
Louis Vito, snowboarder. Louis Vito.
Huh.
Anyone? Anyone?
Uh-huh. No, not here.
Aaron Carter, former boy band member Aaron Carter will be dancing, which always seems like an unfair advantage.
That's what I thought. They do choreography.
That's what they do for a living, right?
I guess.
And retired politician Tom DeLay. Yes, Tom DeLay will be dancing with the stars.
What?
Where was he a politician?
He was a congressman. I don't know where his district was.
Yeah. Dancing with the stars.
Bean, I can hear you furiously typing away.
I'm going to look it up.
There
was
some controversy.
There was a big controversy.
Was he the foot tapper? Him.
He wasn't the foot tapper. No, it was a financial problem situation he had that escapes me at the moment.
He was from Texas, congressman from Texas, former Republican House Majority Leader.
There you go.
Fail.
High profile legal problems forced him to step down, but thank God he's got Dancing with the Stars to fall back on.
Wow, that's quite a
list.
Did
the producer say, yes, Tom DeLay? Woo! Numbers, baby. We're skyrocketing Nielsen's. We booked Tom DeLay.
Apparently it was campaign finances was the problem. That is not a particularly impressive list.
No, sir,
this
it's
time
not.
Around.
Maybe that's why they had to jam it full of 16 of them, because they had C-level celebrities almost at every turn. Although Chuck Liddell would be funny.
There are a lot of fighters that can separate that attitude when they leave the ring and they can become like nice guys and easy to get along with. Chuck Liddell, not one of those guys. It is going to be interesting to watch him try to train.
You're saying he's going to be punching people on the dance floor?
No. I'm just saying he's always in the mind frame of punching people.
Will he choke out a judge? And the judge will have to tap. That'd be awesome.
Ground and pound. Be awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of boy bands, Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block is 40 years old today. Guitarist Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses is 47. Sean Penn, one of our best actors, is 49 years old, and he shares his birthday with another legendary film star. Robert De Niro is 66. Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's is 51 years old. And Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners, one of the greatest one-hit wonders. In fact, VH1 just dubbed them the greatest one-hit wonder of all time.
Is that right?
Yeah, with Come On, Eileen.
Come on, Eileen. Oh, I swear, baby, at this moment, you need everything.
56 years old today. I wonder if he's still
wearing... Come on Eileen.
Oh, Jed, come on.
Stop it.
That. Ralph Garman and I walk the showbiz brief.
Speaking of Chester Bennington, speaking of Linkin Park and Dead by Sunrise that we just heard, how about this weekend? How about the Epicenter 09 show with Linkin Park, Tool, Alice in Chains, and more? How about our friend Chester Bennington on the phone, if this works, right now on the Kevin and Bean Show? Hey, Chester.
Hello.
Hey, Chester, it's Kevin and Bean.
What's happening in China today?
The only thing happening is me watching Eastbound and Down on my laptop.
Right. Pizza.
Well, what are you doing there?
We are actually just out here on tour. We're, you know, we just decided since we haven't played for a while and we're in the middle of making a record that we should go out and play some shows. So we went to Europe and played a few festivals out there, and now we're out here in Asia, playing Japan and Taiwan, and China.
And you're going to make it back in time for Saturday, right? I mean, because we got that whole epicenter going on, and you're supposed to be there.
Yes, we will be back. We'll be ready to go on the 22nd.
Fantastic.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Now, I remember when we had you come in a few weeks ago when you announced Epicenter 09, and we were very excited, obviously, by the lineup with you guys and Tool and Alice in Chains, Wolf Mother, Street Sweeper, Social Club, Hollywood Undead, Atreyu is going to be there. What was the reason, again, you told us, Chester, that you wanted to help put this festival together? What did you feel like we were missing that didn't exist before you came up with Epicenter?
I don't think you guys are missing anything. I think there's just... really good, strong, solid rock festivals, around. And so I think that, I don't know, I mean, you guys put on great shows, and we've been known to put on a few good shows ourselves. And sure. I think that, you know, the fact that us and Tool and Alice and James are going to be playing together is pretty special. So, I just think that... I think there's a lot of really great alternative festivals, but not too many really good rock festivals. And I think that's the right way to point. Come out.
Now, I see in some of the information that you have secured the services of a band named Dead by Sunrise. How are you able to get them?
Well, I happen to know the guys in that band. It was actually Mike Shinoda's idea of all things. He was asking when we were going to tour and stuff, and I was like, well, I don't know. We're going to be going on this tour with Linkin Park and supporting, new song, New Divide. And he's like, well, why don't you just come out and play during our set? And I was like, all right. So that really?
So for those of you
okay,
that don't...
Okay, cool. So we actually played five shows on this tour, in Germany and the UK and out here in Japan. And we're going to finish our last taste, so to speak, during one of the encores for the Linkin Park show. And it's been really great. You know, it's a great way for people to kind of get a taste of Dead by Sunrise before the record comes out.
That, for those of you who don't know, is Chester Bennington's other band. And he's got the CD called Out of Ashes, which comes out October 13th. And we just played Crawl Back In a couple of seconds ago.
I think a lot of people are confused when they see a guy who's got a massively successful band. Where do you find the time? Where do you find the inspiration? What's the need to have another group going at the same time?
Well, it's really interesting that you ask that question. It wasn't like I actually had a desire to really do something else. I was writing songs and. The songs that I was writing just kind of didn't feel like Linkin Park songs. They kind of, more grungy, more... There's just like this edge to them that... this sound that just didn't seem like it quite fit into what Linkin Park does. And especially in the beginning. But I did feel like these songs were really good, and I played them for the guys, and they agree. I mean, there's some songs on here that just stylistically are a little outside the box, which sounds kind of crazy considering that being in Linkin Park, we're pretty diverse in style.
That's so, already a pretty big box.
It just felt like these songs, weren't quite Linkin Park, but I did feel that they were good songs. So actually, Ryan Shuck, who's in Dead by Sunrise. And I've been friends for a long time. He's formerly a band called Orgy, and over time, they just kind of became less and less my songs and became more like our songs after they, you know, put their flavor and twist on the songs. And
interesting,
we kind of created a band, you know, out of that.
We hear it's very Lady Gaga like. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I mean, if Lady Gaga actually had a vagina.
Look at that.
That's a good point.
This is Chester Bennington on the phone with us from the band Linkin Park and also from the new group called Dead by Sunrise. We just played Crawl Back In a few minutes ago. Would you say that that's pretty representative of what the rest of the record sounds like, Chester?
Being in Linkin Park, I've kind of gotten really comfortable, you know, not being stuck to one thing. So the album does have, you know, some more rock-based songs like Crawl Back In. But there's also, you know, some pretty... I mean, I wrote love songs for the first time. You know, it was...
You've helped write quite a few songs about bad relationships with Linkin Park. It's good to hear you that you're writing love songs.
There's tons of bands that I love, you know, like The Cure, Depeche Mode. You know, The Cure especially, that write great love songs. And I've always found it very difficult to kind of tap into that in a really cool way. And I think I kind of figured it out, at least... three times. I don't know if it'll keep happening.
Well, your first chance to see Dead by Sunrise is going to be this coming Saturday. They'll be playing the main stage as part of the set for Linkin Park. And by the way, as Chester mentioned to us last time we had him on, this is Linkin Park's only North American appearance for 2009. So if you love the band like we do, you definitely want to get over to Ticketmaster because the show is this Saturday at the Fairplex in Pomona. It's a phenomenal lineup. Street Sweeper, Social Club, Hollywood Undead, Atreyu, Wolfmother, Alice in Chains, Linkin Park, Tool. Tickets available through Ticketmaster. And, of course, the record from Dead by Sunrise comes out on October the 13th. Chester, you got it going on, man. Sounds like you're having the time of your life, dude.
Linkin Park has the best fans in the world. And, you know, hopefully this tides all of our fans over until the next LP record comes out.
Fantastic. Chester, thanks for joining us this morning. Tomorrow night. When is it there? I'm confused.
I'm actually calling you for the future.
In the future, okay. The future. Yeah. Thanks for joining us in the future.
Chester's calling us from his Thanksgiving meal. It's very weird. I don't understand how it happened. All right, dude. Have a good one.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Thanks, Chester.
In concert tonight, it's going to be Green Day. Hmm. Get those tape recorders queued up.
What?
Green Day coming up.
What?
Rodney, who has a tape recorder? Who is taping onto a cassette at this point in the world?
I haven't seen a cassette. I don't even know who has a cassette recorder. Mm-mm. It doesn't make any sense. Rodney is 900.
Yes.
And I guess they were going to play a Green Day concert. And so that's why, a live concert on the radio. And so that's why there was.
In concert tonight, it's going to be Green Day. Get those tape recorders queued up. Green Day coming up.
How do you cue up a tape recorder as well?
I don't even
know how that works technically.
No, you know they tape things on computer now, right?
When you get these albums on iTunes,
right,
you get the full like CD with the pictures and the sleeves and all that, the cardboard or whatever it is.
Yes, Rodney. Like yes, you download the cardboard, you tard. That's what you do. You download the cardboard with your iTunes purchase.
Wait a minute. I bought a lot of songs on iTunes. They owe me a lot of cardboard because I haven't gotten any of it.
All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. If you were at the singles party this past Friday night, we need to hear from you. We'll give you a complete recap of the time we had out at Bardo. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your story. There were some sex happening at the party. And if you're one of the people who were participants in that, we especially want to hear from you. Right now, though, we got to take care of some business. We got another grand prize drawing to do.
All weekend long, you qualified for Green Day in Las Vegas. That's my favorite kind of trip because you can watch Green Day and then you're also in Vegas. There's two things that you can enjoy.
We promised a grand prize drawing and here it is. If your phone is ringing, pick it up. It's us.
Hello?
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 Hello? Hello?
Why don't you two just get a room?
Hello? Hey, it's Kevin and Bean here. Who's this?
Anna?
Anna!
Is that how you say your name, Anna?
No.
Okay, how do you say your name?
Anais.
Yeah. All right, okay. Now you're just making stuff up. Hey, any idea why we are calling?
Green Day?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Green Day it is. You've won. You're going to Las Vegas to see Green Day.
Oh, my God, that's cool.
It sounds like you're on your way to work.
Yeah.
Do you have the hands-free thing working? Because that's a real bummer.
I got the
entry. Yeah. Well, okay. Disconnect it. Talk to us on the phone.
Well, don't make her do that, Kevin.
I want her to do that because I'd like her to get a ticket.
Don't make her. No, we don't want that. Listen, Anna, as if that's really your name, we're going to send you to Las Vegas, the one in Nevada, round trip, not just one way. We're picking up the airfare. You get a hotel suite. You get backstage passes for the show. And here, check this out. A guitar autographed by Billy Joe Armstrong is part of your grand prize winnings right now.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You sound thrilled. Plus $106 spending cash, which, as you know, lasts you a year in Las Vegas. I mean, I don't even know how long you'd have to stay there to spend $106, but...
You could stay there for a year. Easy.
Easy on that.
And still have most of it left over.
Just on the interest from the $106 that you put in the bank, you can live in Las Vegas. But the important thing is you've won. You're going to see Green Day. You're going to Las Vegas. And we thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show and the world-famous K-Rock.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We'll have somebody call you later with the details.
Okay.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
I'm not sure she was thrilled.
Not a spark plug.
It was tough to tell.
Maybe it's early.
Yeah, it could be. You know? She had a little trouble hearing us.
Maybe she's not alive.
Maybe she wants the prize, not so keen on timing to talk to Kevin and B. Maybe that's the downer.
Right.
I got to tell you, Lisa May is thwarting our evil plan, Kevin, to replace her with someone younger and hotter because she herself is getting younger and hotter. at the singles party Friday night, I almost hit on her before I realized it was Lisa.
Wow. I would have rejected you.
She would have thrown up.
She looked amazing.
Like District 9.
You did look really nice.
You did look great. But Bean always has to give you the backhanded compliment. Always.
That's all right. With Bean, you take it however you can get it.
Okay. That's what my wife says. You know, the thing is this is just like, it's no different than any other workplace. We never see the other people dressed up. But Lisa shows up in a little black dress, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, where have you been hiding that? You know what I'm saying?
That girl. Oh, yeah. Lisa. Huh.
We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. If you're a Kevin Amin fan and you were at the singles party on Friday night, I guess former producer, now the website guy, Lightning, was there with his video camera, Kevin?
Yeah, he has a video confessional booth, which I have to be honest, I never saw.
I didn't either.
Well, I'm a little blurry after the shots that we did for Omar's birthday, which was relatively early.
Plus, it's a big place. It's easy to get lost.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. Yeah. It's a big place and all that. So the video is up on the front page of the website, and here's some of the audio from that.
She needs a booty call. No, I don't need a booty call. She needs a booty call. No, I don't do that.
Yeah, so they were fighting over who needs a booty call and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm. I don't do that yet. Give it an hour.
Then here's Ralph and Miss Double December, Cassandra.
Oh, yeah.
And a hard-hitting interview from Ralph and a very, very important topic.
Have you ever worn white pants?
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Good enough.
Have you ever worn white pants? Yes. Those of you that don't know what that
awesome
means.
Awesome, Miss Double D.
We found out. It's science, by the way. This is not a subjective thing. This is science, that if you wear white pants, you're advertising that you like things.
You lay on your stomach.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
That's good enough. Here's a girl that was questioning. She wanted some answers on what she did and whether it was good or not.
One time I made out with three girls. Is that bad or good? I don't know. But it was hot because I have big boobs.
Yeah. Let me tell you what else you have. You have bonkers eyes.
Bonkers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you look at her and you go, I don't know what's going on inside that head, but she's got
bonkers.
A little scary. These girls just wanted to advertise themselves, and I'm not exactly sure what they meant.
We are sexy f***ing single bitches, and we're tall and blue.
Okay, they're tall and blue.
Okay.
You tell me. Your guess is as good as mine. We'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067 if you were there. Obviously, we couldn't be everywhere. There was a lot of sex going on. And Miss Cleo.
What?
Has joined us in the studio now.
Oh, Miss Cleo.
Who had a very sexy, brand new black dress.
Yes, she did.
Thank you.
She looked
great.
She looked fantastic.
Thank you.
Now, did you fail at the party the way you fail at most things, Miss Cleo?
Yes. Or wrong. No, I
she
had a great,
fail.
It was an amazing singles party.
It was really good.
It was a great party.
It was a great party.
But?
It was amazing.
Because you were looking, if I recall, you were looking last week, we were setting you, we let you pick people to get into the party so that you could find some people there.
Correct.
Yeah. So, and did you find?
She didn't pick a lot, remember?
Needless to say, you all failed.
That's sad. Yes, Mike.
She totally failed.
How did I fail? She was making out with people or something, no?
I was in the confessional booth with her and the dude that she handpicked.
We don't need to talk about this.
She handpicked to come to the party. That was going to be like maybe her right-hand man for the evening.
Okay.
They're both holding a Corona. I say, hey, how about if he chugs this whole thing? They're brand new beers. How about if he chugs this all the way down? You reward him, and I offered up sex, but that was ridiculous.
Of course, you were just thinking
she
kiss.
She talked it down to, okay, no problem. If you chug this beer, I'll dance with you. Those words come out of her mouth.
Yeah.
Guy downs the beer, doesn't even
hesitate. Did he not see the field goal attempt and the lack of payment?
Oh, wait, it gets worse.
Okay.
Oh, you wait.
All right.
She hands him her beer. I said, just down the second one, too. Guy chugs it. You can see it. The bubbles are going into his nose. It's painful. It's torturous. He downs them both. Miss Cleo walks away.
Oh, Miss Cleo.
I do not know what you are talking about.
What kind of a tease are you?
I don't recall any of that. Seriously? Oh, maybe I do. He was a very...
Failed.
Yep. I was being pulled in all different directions. He was a very nice guy.
Uh-huh. At that point when you said, I will dance with you, though...
I think I danced later with him later in the
night. I'm sure you think you did.
Yeah. I know he asked. I'm sure
Your dress was being pulled in all different directions. I'll tell you that. That is true. It really was like a bag full of puppies trying to see her keep that under control. But,
do you fail?
What does that mean?
You do fail. Are you one of the people, though, Miss Cleo, and we talked about these people earlier, who go to a party like that with hundreds of attractive, interesting single people? Did you determine that nobody met your standards?
No, there were a lot of really good-looking guys there, and I was on the prowl.
Nope.
It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun.
You fail prowl. You are not a prowler.
I thought we had a great selection of guys and girls.
Let's talk to the dude who you promised that you would dance with him. Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Are you the dude that Miss Cleo said she would dance with you if you drank the beer?
Yeah, the one that I had to down two beers.
How about that?
Yep, that was me.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
You look great that night.
Yes. Thank you.
How was dancing with her?
What's that?
How was dancing with her?
Lonely.
What?
It was lonely, actually.
Lonely.
You never danced with her?
No. And as a matter of fact, I went looking for her probably 30 minutes after that, and she straight out said no to me again.
Because
she's a lying liar who lies, right?
Loves to make promises she won't keep.
She is batting 1,000 right now with broken promises.
You should go into politics, Miss Cleo, because seriously, people will vote for you because you will promise them everything in the world.
And then you don't have to deliver any of it.
Your name's David, right? I even remember this guy's name.
Hey, great.
The guy that you promised you would dance with him
if he drank the beers and then walked away. That guy, you remember his name?
I call BS. I don't think any of
Can't call BS. We're calling BS.
All right. Miss Cleo, you're dead to me.
Miss Cleo, I've been saying it my whole life. I'll be saying it until the day I die. Miss Cleo. And I don't mean that in a good way.
Right.
All right.
Thank you for the call, David. Let's talk to Ray real quick. He's on line 1-800-520-1067. If you were with us at Bardot on Friday night, we're talking about the singles party. Hey, Ray, how was your party experience?
It was great, up to the point where I don't remember how I got home.
Oh, good.
Oh, really?
I hope you didn't drive.
I think I was okay to drive.
No, you were. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't remember it?
In general, if you can't remember getting home, that means that you're in great shape to drive. That's a good way to...
I think the highlight of my night was slobbering through a conversation with Nicole Alvarez.
Oh, Nicole looked fantastic on Friday night, too, by the way.
She did.
Yes, she
did.
Very
beautiful woman.
And I'm sure she's still riveted by your conversation.
Oh, God, no, I hope not.
Ray, did you either get any phone numbers or any making out or anything like that?
I made out with about two different girls who actually took the tickets that I got from the King of Mexico, which I think is what they promised me. They made out with me and then they took the tickets that I got from the King of Mexico.
What tickets? Like concert tickets?
Yes, concert tickets.
Now, if I'm reading you correctly, that was worth it for you.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Okay. Right.
That's what I figured.
Very worth it.
Thank you for the call.
Alex just reminded
me
why.
You get out.
Look.
You are a bad...
He was Grabby McGrabby. I remember why I didn't dance with him.
No, that's
a turn off. If I don't know you and you're grabbing all over me, no.
I'd like to suggest if you just now thought about that, how grabby was he?
I didn't remember.
And if you...
Friday's a haze for me, okay?
Time out. If at that point when I made the deal where you were to, he was going to down the beers and you were to dance with him, if he had already been a grabby McGrabberton, then you should have let me know that, or you should have said something
what,
and not
video?
Made the promise.
On video?
No, you shouldn't have promised
in
to dance with him.
In the confessional booth in front
the
of the guy?
Line
no, I was
is,
nice.
The bottom line is you agreed to dance with him if he downed a beer. He did such and you walked away.
I was being polite.
You're a lying liar who lies.
I'm just going to say the next Kevin Amin singles party that we have, Miss Cleo doesn't get on the list. How about that?
Yeah. Fail.
How about that?
Epic fail.
Exactly.
Then you miss these, Bean.
Mm.
Ooh.
Well,
not when they're attached to that, Cleo. Singer-guitarist for Alice in Chains, Jerry Cantrell, talking about the band being back together with a new album coming up later on this morning's Kevin and Bean show. And the beautiful Olivia Munn. She'll be in here momentarily right now.
Are you afraid of her? That doesn't sound like you're...
doesn't sound like terror.
I'm afraid that there might be some actual medical problems going on in my pants.
Okay.
Trust me, there are a lot of medical problems going on in your pants.
Sorry,
none of them have anything to do with Olivia Munn.
That's true.
Right. Right now, the Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday. What the heck's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We take a look, as we do every Monday morning. District 9 comes from the dark horse position, really. Given all the big movies are opening up this weekend and we're already out there, $37 million it made at the box office.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
And well-deserved. One of my favorite movies of the year.
I saw District
69.
And that was very different.
That's a different film.
They've already made the porn knockoff?
Hey, I sat next to a celebrity.
At District 9?
Yep.
Was it a prawn?
Nope.
Oh, that would have been cool if there was a prawn sitting next to you going...
It's some kind of computer sound.
Yes, computer sounds.
I can't really do that. Jim from The Office.
Oh. No kidding.
John Krasinski.
Oh, I love him so much.
Yeah, me too.
Wow.
Did you say, hey, Jim from The Office?
No,
did
I didn't really.
I could. I thought. I know you didn't know his name.
Yeah, I did.
When you were sitting next to him.
But I love that
Hey, Jim
guy.
From The Office.
Yeah, he's the best.
Do you like some popcorn, Jim from The Office?
He seems just like a nice guy, too.
Hey, dude. Where's Pam, Jim from The Office?
I probably wouldn't have remembered Jim. I probably just
remember that guy from The Office.
I love him. And he sat next to me. I couldn't figure out what to say, so I didn't say a word.
Popcorn trick?
I just didn't want to bug him.
Okay. Yeah, I don't blame you.
Oh, you got to try the popcorn trick if you've got Jim from The Office.
I don't know. I didn't think that way.
Who was he sitting with, do you know?
No. Hmm. Very attractive, however.
Because he has a celebrity girlfriend, doesn't he, Ralph?
Is
he dating somebody?
He
is. Who is it he's dating?
Dating Sunshine Cleaning. Who was in that with Amy Adams?
Oh.
Come on, help me out here.
The
British
girl?
Actor. Blunt. Emily Blunt.
Yeah, Emily Blunt.
He's dating Emily Blunt.
I hope
he would have known if... You
Kevin
would
not. Lisa, who are you talking about?
He wouldn't
about?
Know the name, but he'd recognize her.
I did recognize her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. That was her then.
But he doesn't know.
It's James Blunt.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't know who she
right.
was. So.
Okay.
But I didn't have any. I kept thinking, I should say something. How many chances like this do I get? I thought, well, what am I going to say that he's going to care about?
Why don't you come on our show?
I'd
love to talk to you.
I don't want to bug him.
Oh, all right.
May have been a wasted celebrity sighting.
No.
Okay.
We appreciate your story.
All right.
G.I. Joe was number 2 at the box office. Time Traveler's Wife came in 3rd. Interesting story about that film. They had to go back and reshoot some scenes for Time Traveler's Wife. But by the time they made that decision, Eric Bana had already shaved his head for Star Trek.
Yeah, Eric.
So what'd they do?
They had to wait for his hair to grow back.
Wow.
So it was supposed to come out last year. The movie was supposed to come out last year.
Oh, no
So they've
kidding.
Been holding on, waiting for his hair to grow back so they could reshoot some scenes.
Oh. Interesting.
Was it worth
if
it?
If they could only go back in time
yes, before he cut
before
it.
He cut his hair and shoot those reshoots. But no, they didn't think of that, did they?
They just weren't thinking.
You would think in the 21st Hollywood. Century that Hollywood would have a way to replicate a man's hair, I don't know, in the lab, like make a wig.
They sure can't.
They
it sure never looks good.
They can make a wig, but it doesn't look like your hair looks like, sadly. Just ask Tony Curtis. Julie and Julia was number 4. G-Force was 5th. The Goods with Jeremy Piven. Number 6 at the box office. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. The Ugly Truth. Ponyo.
Hey!
And 500 Days of Summer rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. There's been weeks of speculation, and now we finally know who will be dancing with the stars. They announced their celebrity panel live on Good Morning America today, and now we know 16 celebrity contestants will be competing for the coveted Crystal Cup of Dance.
Is that what they give out?
I don't know what they give out.
Crystal Cup of Dance?
Something.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Me.
Former Congressman Tom DeLay.
Well, I thought you were talking about Dancing with the Stars.
Aaron Carter from a boy band that was probably in sync. 98 Boys.
I have no idea.
Boys?
New Kids on the Back Street? I don't know. I just know he used to do something like that.
Yeah.
Louis Vito. Snowboarder. So far, how are we doing?
Well,
we're 1 for 3.
Is this the celebrity version of, or just the regular version?
Joanna Krupa?
Ah! Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
I think she's related to Gene Krupa, legendary drummer Gene Krupa.
No. She's a supermodel, Lisa.
Oh, okay.
She is a smoking hot supermodel.
You know, Corolla should have waited a couple of seasons. He would have been the biggest star on this round.
That's true.
Natalie Coughlin, Olympic swimmer. Natalie Coughlin.
Wow.
We're 2 for 5. Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
MMA legend Chuck Liddell.
That pussy. Is
hey.
I'm sorry. That is so hard to believe.
Debbie Mazar from Entourage.
Okay.
Kelly Osbourne will be dancing. Look, she was just on Broadway, or the London version of Broadway in the West End, doing Chicago.
Was she?
Yeah. Oh. Singing and dancing her little heart out.
So this would have been more fun a few years ago when she was giant.
Before she
fat.
Lost all the weight.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Donny Osmond, also on the list. Mark Dacascos.
Don't know.
From Iron Chef America.
Oh.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Michael Irvin, retired football player.
Yes, please.
There's always one.
Crazy.
But you know what? Wasn't it Warren Sapp who got all the way to the finals in Dancing with the Stars? I mean, I always think these athletes are there for comedy. And yeah, you're right. Jerry Rice did, too. As did Emmitt Smith.
That's right.
Got all the way to the finals.
Yeah. It's funny that those guys who you would not expect to do well in competition like this do, and maybe it has something to do with their work ethic and their competition, you know, the competitive factor.
Or that the dudes who are forced to watch that show by their wives are voting for them.
Yeah, that could be.
It's the only name they recognize. Is it Lisa Rinna, or should I vote for a football player? Ashley Hamilton also competing this year.
Oh, she's good.
Hamilton does
good work.
It's a guy, and he's the ex-husband of Shannon Doherty.
Okay.
And I think was shot by Aaron Burr, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Jesus. Maya.
Put that in the file.
Singer Maya. Okay. Melissa Joan Hart.
Sorry.
To the Teenage Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Macy Gray. Yeah.
Are you naming everyone in the world, or are we still talking about Dancing with the Stars?
We're still talking about Dancing with the Stars.
Are we just naming celebrities now?
And Kathy Ireland. If I was naming celebrities, you would recognize some of these names.
Yeah,
true. Kathy Ireland rounds out your list of 16 celebrity contestants on Dancing
Macy
with the
Stars. Macy
Gray
is crazy. Maybe at least that'll help some.
And she likes the herb.
Yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
That's made for some interesting dancing.
Sure.
She'll be a fragrant dancer.
I've got so many great stories to do in the showbiz news, but we're already out of time. So come back in an hour, will you? And I'll tell you about Robert Downey Jr.'s new movie. And I got more stories about the Wayans brothers and, a great new movie sequel they're working on.
So. You just sold the Wayans brothers like
you
it was
did.
A good story.
It's good because it's funny.
Okay.
I don't know why you think you'll have time in an hour, by the way. I don't know where you're getting that confidence.
Well, hope springs eternal. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Robert De Niro, 66 years old today, as is Sean Penn. And those are actually, they're real good buddies, too, those two
are
guys.
They?
Yeah. I'd just like to hang out with those two.
Wouldn't?
That would be an intense evening, don't you think?
Sounds like a party.
Belinda Carlisle's 51. Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses is 47. And speaking of boy bands, Donnie Wahlberg from New Kids on the Block, or NKOTB, I think they're called.
Sure.
These days is 40 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, it's a good thing you were listening to Silver Sun Pickups there, not us. It is the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
We often say this on the Kevin and Bean Show, but if you could hear the conversation in the studio during the songs, it's so much more entertaining than the stuff that's on the radio.
Or boy, just is it gross.
But it's not allowed.
Oh, and by gross, you mean
it's educational.
Thank you, Olivia.
Or just gross.
We were having the Kevin and Bean prayer circle like we do every morning at this time, and then filthy Olivia Munn walks in,
not
and all of a
fault.
Sudden she's got to make it all trashy.
It's
I don't know
not
what
my fault.
That was
I'm
all.
Just
that
answering
all
this, questions.
That does happen when you co-host Loveline. That does happen. It's a strange week for you, I imagine, right? Because you started last night.
I started last night, and it's my
week.
Yeah. I do it all week, and Drew does get Drew and I look at each other and just as soon as he gives me this look, and we just start dying laughing. It's just 30 seconds of dead air.
Good.
Of us just laughing. But I think that I think that I found out that when I'm on, we get more sex related questions, which I think it's like old school Loveline.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like put it out there. There's the technical side, and then there's like the really sweet thing to say, and then I think there's the right thing to say.
Right.
Which is where I come in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You mean the right thing, meaning the funny
which is,
thing.
No, which is like what's accurate. Like a guy calls in, and he's like...
careful.
I'm going to be very careful. Okay. But he's like, you know, 16 years old, and he's making out with his girlfriend, and very PG stuff for like, but I can't say it here.
Right.
And, you know, everyone's kind of like technical. Well, was she, you know, what time of the month was it for her? And I'm like, okay, hold on. Let me just tell you what to do technically. Now, this is what you do with, and then I just walk him through it.
Nice.
And I thought that was the right thing to do. At 16 years old, he needs some advice.
Yeah. What he needs is a strawberry cheesecake. That's what he needs.
Oh. Hey, I thought,
Isn't it PG? What is it? So early in the morning.
What he needs is the Lithuanian typewriter.
Let me tell you about this love line for folks who don't know. We carry it here, and it's on stations all over the country. But, I mean, I tuned in for a little bit last night, Olivia, because I knew that you were on.
Oh, thanks.
And in the few minutes that I was listening, I heard stories about a guy's fist. Yeah. I heard stories about blood coming up in places that I didn't know blood came up.
Yes. Oh, man.
And then when I tuned in, I think I heard the end of Rivers Cuomo calling in. Did that happen?
Yes.
What was that all about?
Well, Allie from Allie and AJ, or now known as 78 Violet, I believe, she was on the show, and she's friends. Like, she had all of her famous friends call in. Nancy Wilson from Heart called in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And the conversations are so funny because she's like, she's so sweet. Allie's so sweet. So she's like, oh, hi, Nancy. How's the family? Hi. Oh, the house. Did you move into the house? It's like becomes this personal conversation. Like, we're on the radio.
That's strange.
So I was like, it's her idol calling in. So I was just like, hey, Nicole Kidman's calling in. Hey, Nikki. How's the fam? How's Keith? Great. I'll see you in Australia. Ta-ta. See you later.
What was Rivers Cuomo talking about? Why did he call?
Nothing.
Just to say hi to her?
I'll tell you this. Nothing. Like, he really is so quiet and so shy. And we, the producer of Loveline said, let's ask him what, because they've asked him 20 times to come in, and he always says no. And so I said, why? He's like, well, I'm just really shy.
Is he full of crap? What is his deal? I mean, I think this whole thing where he's going to go into music and blah, 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 it's all just like a video that they're making or a movie or something.
I don't know. What is his deal? What's he saying?
What are you talking about? We're talking about Rivers Cuomo.
Well, oh, he's talking about...
Who was I talking about?
You're talking about Joaquin
Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah, I was changing topics.
That was smooth. You confused the hell out of the rest of us, though. I'll tell you that.
It took 30 seconds for you guys to figure out where I was, let alone what I was talking about.
Well, Rivers Cuomo is in Weezer, and Joaquin Phoenix is... Hi.
Sorry.
All I Rivers Cuomo starred in Walk the Line. Remember,
yes.
Kevin? He's the one who was played Johnny Cash. That's Rivers Cuomo. Don't be confused.
Don't confuse
me,
Marty.
And Joaquin Phoenix won the Academy Award
for
Ray.
All right, stop it, all of you.
Olivia, why are you doing Loveline? Thank you for doing it, but don't you already have a full-time job with Attack of the Show, and B, aren't you also filming the Greek TV show right now? Like, how do you have time to do all this?
Yeah, I am very busy, and like last night, it was like, the reason why I was late part of it was because I was like, maybe I should just call in and say I have food poisoning. I'm too tired to go, but I just do it because it's once you get there, it's so much fun, and I love doing it with Drew, and Drew and I have been talking about having me come on full-time to do it. So,
oh, really?
You know, wow. I'm seeing if 10 to midnight doesn't seem like that hard of a job, but
right, it's a couple hours, right?
Yeah, but if you already do have so much other stuff going on, it's like, is it
you
worth
just take
it?
Calls about the mushy biscuit, and that's not that hard. All right.
There's only so much you can answer. I mean, the thing is, Drew ends up going to the what happened to you when you were 8?
Yeah,
tell me
always.
What happened to your father. I'm like, oh, just get to that.
I think I could do the show now after having listened to him for so long.
Yeah.
It always goes back to that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Drew loves asking about that. I'm like, some people just love getting choked, Drew. I mean, is that really? Is that a mystery? Some people like the sensation, Drew.
Let me tell you what's remarkable to me about Dr. Drew, who really is one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life, and he's so good on radio and TV. Whenever he's on, he is so well spoken and smart about whatever topic he's talking about. I just can't believe he doesn't ever use that power for evil, because all the girls love him so much.
He's so...
Do you know how much trim he could get?
I know. You know, I've asked him like off the air, like just the, I mean, he just absolutely loves his family, and he has triplets, and he loves his wife, and like he's just like, he's got flawless skin. I mean, he
literally
blows.
Yeah, it's too good
blows.
To be true. There's something
he
wrong
blows.
There.
But I'll tell you, the thing about Drew that I absolutely love is that he's a doctor and he's well respected and he is so smart. But he can be so judgmental. It's great.
Yeah,
it's like he can just, when we look at each other and he's just like, what is wrong with you? And he'll just like yell at people and like, it's just, that's the one, you know, the one rub with him is that when you're calling in, he's just like, he doesn't care who you
are. That's the best part. I mean, I think that makes it good. That makes his advice good.
But that's why I love him so much, because he's like a real person who can give you good advice, but also tell it like it is.
Would you ever let him do the Houdini on you?
Yeah, sure. Dr. Drew could surprise me any day.
Okay. All right. We need to take a break. Olivia Munn is here. We want to find out what's new on the G4 with the Attack of the Show. I want to hear about your vacation, by the way, because I follow you on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And man, did it sound like you had the best European vacation ever.
Best ever.
Ever.
Olivia out there in a bikini on Lake Como for what seemed like days. So
nice.
We want to hear all about that when we return with Olivia Munn right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Olivia Munn is here right now, of course, Attack of the Show on the G4, which airs weeknights at 7 o'clock. Olivia, how was Europe?
Europe was amazing. It's exactly what I needed. I got back from Comic-Con about
3 in the morning on Saturday, and I left, like, you know, hours later the next day. So it was exactly what I needed.
Where'd you go?
I went to Barcelona and then Lake Como, and then I ended up, I was supposed to go the rest of Europe, and then I blew everything off just to stay in Como, and then and then went to Amsterdam for one day and then home.
Nice. When you're in Lake Como, do all tourists look for George Clooney's house? Is that kind of part of the deal if you're there or no?
Yeah, well, we stayed at George's house, so when you're there, it is kind of... I'm not kidding.
What?
Did you really?
Yeah, well... I think
you're not kidding.
You are kidding. You must be kidding. You didn't stay at George Clooney's house.
But he's a good friend of my boyfriend's, so we...
Was he there?
Yeah, yeah.
Not your boyfriend, George Clooney.
Yes. You don't go to someone's house unless they're
Sometimes you do.
Oh, do
when
you?
When they're famous and they have houses all over the world.
I guess
yeah.
that what people do.
Wait.
But yeah, it's kind of
so
you kind of have to be on lockdown when you're inside there.
You stayed at George Clooney's house at Lake Como?
Mm-hmm.
With George?
Yes.
With George Clooney?
Yes.
You kind of left the big part of the story out in the beginning. You know that, right?
Well, that's the sell, Olivia.
I think that there are pictures. That's why I think that was like, there was like, you know, when you're on a boat and then like the pictures kind of come out. So I don't think it was like, it's really that big of a secret.
I didn't know.
I didn't see those either.
If you go onto like a boat or if like, and then all the paparazzi take pictures and...
Right.
And
especially with Clooney there, I imagine.
Yeah. Well, he's not with us on the boat, you know, but like they know it's his boat.
Like
they know it's his house.
Like we know any of these. You keep saying stuff like we should know.
Well, like how are we supposed to know how it works in Europe at George Clooney's house?
That's not our life.
There's a blog.
We don't know if he's on the boat or not.
No.
And if he's not on the boat, we don't know if he's home.
Right.
Olivia.
What's wrong with you?
Let me back up a step. So the photos that I've seen of you in the bikini on the boat, that's George Clooney's boat. That's what you're telling us.
Yeah. Right there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yes,
see, we didn't know that. So when you're staying at George Clooney's, even though you're with your boyfriend, it has to cross your mind, I need to hit that, right?
No.
He's George Clooney. How do you not?
Because it just doesn't. Because he's like one of the nicest guys out there, and everyone's just hanging out, and everyone's friends. And
Lisa, is she lying?
No, I believe her, but she's different than 99% of women.
No,
she's
not. But I think the difference is like, you know, when you've known someone for so long and, you know, it's
kind of... and George go back forever?
Well, like, he's known my boyfriend for a long time. And so it's like, and then they're such good friends that it's like, it doesn't, you know, like, I've just known him for a couple of years, but it doesn't, you know, it's like seeing your friend, your boyfriend with one of his old friends. It doesn't even cross your mind.
Do you think George has ever done the swimmer's ear?
I have no idea what that is.
Okay. Don't ask.
And then Brad Pitt served us coffee. Of course he did. Why do you think he didn't?
He did. Every morning.
You have to understand how strange that sounds
is
to
it?
Us.
I guess.
Yes, very. We don't walk in the same circles as you.
No, but I think that it...
We didn't know she walked in those circles either.
Well,
no.
I mean, I don't really walk in them.
I fly through them.
I private jet through them.
Yeah.
No, it's just... I think it's just like, you know, everyone lives in L.A. and some people know people. And then, you know, like, you guys have different friends and some people... I have friends who, like, are really good friends with J.J. Abrams, and I'm like, holy crap, you know, you're best friends with J.J. Abrams. That's
right.
Amazing. Like, to me, like, that's the
that
coolest
cool.
thing ever.
Okay,
you know,
but the extent of my Hollywood hookup, though, is that I follow Weird Al's tweets. I mean, that's about as high-end as I get, okay? That's not the same as being in Como with Clooney. I'm sorry.
No, but, you know, like, but in a different world, like, with me, like, I have, like, huge, like, there's a comic book writer named Brian K. Vaughan, who, like, I'm a huge fan of, and if I ever met him, I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, this is the best thing ever. So I think everyone's, like, I mean,
everyone has
just
that person, but that person is George Clooney for everyone else.
That's
just kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so. Yeah. I really don't think so. I think, no, honestly, I think that, you know, like, if everyone can hang out with him, but it's like, we're in L.A., is it really that crazy? I don't know.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah, you've lost the ability to see how the rest of the world looks at George Clooney in his house on Lake Como. That is impressive.
Do you think he's ever done the screw unicorn?
I have no idea what that is.
How about the shot back?
If you explain it to me, I know it's morning, but you have to try to explain it to me.
I bet he's done the shot back. I'm almost positive he's done the shot back.
How about the Brazilian slime viper?
Oh.
No. You have your master list over there?
I do, yes.
The best part is that Kevin says, you know, hey, give me your email and I'll send you a master list. It's like 4 days long.
It is.
Just all these terms that I've never heard of in my
You'll
life.
You'll laugh for hours. It's really great.
I'm really excited to hear. The Houdini is probably my favorite so far.
Oh, that's
the Houdini is the best. We're willing to give you the Houdini before you leave.
This is morning. And what is, like, you guys aren't supposed to talk to me like that, I don't think. I don't think.
let's talk about what
let's
the
let's talk about the chocolate omelet then.
That's a what is the chocolate omelet?
I don't want to talk about anything.
It's an omelet. No, but I'm saying
no,
it's breakfast food.
I'm trying to visualize. Trying to visualize what exactly a chocolate omelet would be because I had no idea what the chocolate pizza was.
Yeah,
we can't.
And aren't you sorry now?
We can't really. Yeah.
I'm excited. So, I'm smarter
you
now.
You need to find out about the New Jersey meat hood. That's
New Jersey meat hood?
No.
This is...
Oh, I was thinking...
There could be a hood, too. This is the voice of Olivia Munn, by the way. She is the co-host of Attack of the Show, which, of course, is on G4. What are you doing this week, by the way? Is there a little bit of a letdown after Comic-Con that you don't have something big to work toward, or do you still have plenty of other stuff going on?
No, it's... Well, I've been gone for a really long time, so I came back. I did a couple shows last week, and now... my co-host has been gone in London, hanging out with the Beckhams, and
of course,
but he's back. So tomorrow we'll be back on the show for the first time together, and that's just always fun for us. But nothing really. I think we're just kind of regular shows.
Do you think you guys will do the Puerto Rican fog bank?
Or we have.
You have.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Let me check
that one. She knows.
How about the Rear Admiral?
Are you checking off?
Yeah. Olivia Munn is co-hosting Loveline with our friend Dr. Drew all this week. 10 o'clock on this station. Check your local listings to find out where it airs, where you are. Who's your co-host tonight, Olivia? Do you even know?
It's just me and Drew tonight.
Okay.
Oh, you mean on the show?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I was wondering if you had a guest. Yeah. On Loveline.
On Loveline. No, nobody on Loveline. But today on Attack of the Show, Chris Hardwick from Web Soup, he will be co-hosting with me.
Fantastic. Okay, there you go. Well, Olivia, we love you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad you came in, and keep up the good work, and we'll see you soon, all right?
All right, talk to you later.
I think Psycho Mike's getting a little tingly here this morning with Jerry Cantrell coming in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a while since I've seen him. He feels the way about Jerry Cantrell coming in the way I felt about Olivia Munn coming in, if that tells you anything about the differences between Mike and me.
It tells me that Jerry should be worried. That's what it tells me.
All right, Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. Mondays, we'd like to catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, to find out what's going on with our crazy celebrity friends. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
How was your weekend? Do anything fun?
Yeah, I had fun.
All right.
He's not telling you.
We just had Olivia Munn in here a few minutes ago, from Attack of the Show, and she was telling us about her European vacation where she stayed at George Clooney's place on Lake Como. That was what she did for holiday.
Let me tell you, we've been getting pictures of that, like, every day. He has the life.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, and he's been there. I think he's been there 2 months. But it's crazy. I mean, his life is so different from everybody else's life.
It really is. I mean, you talk about, A-level celebrities. It seems like he's even another step above that.
Oh, God, he just lives the life.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know. He's like... a cool guy.
Nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
He's better than us in every way.
Yeah.
And the woman he's with, he's going to trade her in at a point. But it's still a good deal for her.
Yeah, I hear you.
While it lasts. I mean,
I think they get to be like 22 and a half, and then he trades him in for the younger model.
Right.
I think that's, God bless him. All right, Harvey, well, what are you in the grunts working in the newsroom on today?
Oh, God. We've got a billion things up on the board now. Michael Jackson.
What? There's something going on with him?
Yeah. To me, the key to this case are these two women in Houston whose names are LaQuisha and LaQuanda.
Yes, they are.
Hello.
Yes, they are.
And they work in his medical facility, in Dr. Conrad's Murray's, his medical facility there. So we found out, we talked to their uncle, because we know that one of them went to this storage facility the morning that Michael Jackson died, right? And picked up some stuff. So why did she go? So we've been like, to me, there is something critical about this whole case, and it goes back to these two women.
So, Harvey, the propofol that was given to Michael Jackson, that they're considering why he died, we think maybe she went to that storage place to clean it out. Right?
Well,
is that the guess?
There's a theory. I mean, the police want to know what they took out. The person who runs the facility says that that they took 3 to 5 boxes.
Okay.
So how is it that they end up there? Well, we talked to their uncle because they wouldn't. We actually got them and they talked to us a little bit. But I mean, one of them says I picked up a chair. The other says I picked up a box of dirty needles and took them back to the office. And so
they could use them again.
Yeah. Right, what are you doing with dirty needles?
Why would you store dirty needles?
Right.
A, and why would you bring them back to the office? B.
Hey, we're running low on needles. Go get some of those used ones.
Yeah. Go get those dirty needles. It'll look nice in the corner. So we talked to their uncle, And he told us, and this is, to me, the most interesting thing. He said that one of these girls got a phone call, either from Dr. Murray or one of Dr. Murray's people, at around 9 in the morning Houston time to go pick up stuff at the warehouse.
How does that work with the timing of what happened here?
Well, that would be 7 a.m. Los Angeles time.
And that's...
which is 5 hours more than 5 hours before he called 911.
What?
So,
wow.
I don't know how to connect those dots, but one of the theories the police, listen, and maybe it's innocent. I mean, it is a remarkable coincidence they're going to a warehouse and picking up boxes the day Michael Jackson's dying.
Yeah, it's possible there's no relation, but that is odd.
It is odd, and, you know, all I can say is we ended up, we found out how many bottles of propofol were stashed in that house when Michael Jackson died.
Yes.
And there were 5 small vials of propofol and 3 large bottles of propofol, which sounds like a lot. Guess what? It's one night's sleep.
What?
Oh, my gosh. So you have to use a lot of it.
They never use it. They never use that for sleeping. But to keep somebody asleep for 8 hours, that's about what you would have to give them.
Wow.
So he would have to be shipping in a ton of this stuff, which is one of the reasons that the police believed, I don't think they can prove it yet, but one of the reasons they believed that some of this stuff might have been stored.
And across state lines is another big problem with the law, right?
Well, and again, I can't tell you what was in the warehouse because we don't know, but it is really weird that they got this phone call and they went to this warehouse, and it's all right around the time that Michael Jackson is dead.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that there are women out there named LaQuisha and LaQuanda, and we haven't already seen them on Tyra Banks' talk show. I mean, like, why haven't they been on yet? That's crazy.
And they're sisters, by the way.
Hey, Harvey, a few days ago, I didn't see the interview, but I saw a reference to another interview with Joe Jackson, Michael's father, and I'm sure he got paid for this one, too. And they asked him, hey, you know, what about burying the boy? And he said he still has not been buried. What are they waiting for?
He's in a freezer at Forest Lawn right now in the Hollywood Hills. And his mom goes to visit him. And what we're told is there's still a split in the family. Jermaine really wants Michael buried in Neverland. And none of the rest of the family wants him there. They think it's shocking because Michael hated Neverland after the trial.
Right.
So, you know, there's this whole thing about Jermaine, and is there anything financially that he stands to gain from it? So Jermaine is really, like, increasingly estranged from that family. They're pissed off at him because he made it seem like the family was behind this whole Vienna catastrophe concert, and the family didn't know anything about it. So
does he want a Graceland-type place where they can make money forever and he can get some?
The family, maybe? I'm told... last week I was told they still hadn't finally decided, but Joe Jackson talked to the New York Daily News and said that Michael was going to be buried on his birthday later on this month.
Okay.
So it remains to be seen. I still think it should be Vegas. I'm telling you.
I agree.
Yeah, that was your billion-dollar idea.
I agree.
You're absolutely right.
So, but
all
look,
right.
I think we can all agree on somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
That's all we're saying.
Maybe not a freezer at Forest Lawn.
Yeah. I don't know where.
All right, real quick, last question. I know you have to go in less than a minute here, because I know you've been following it closely. Any thaw in Paula Abdul and American Idol maybe getting back together, or has that ship sailed, Harvey?
No, it hasn't sailed. She wants $10 million. We are told if she gets $10 million, she goes back. That she will go back.
Really? That's still alive? I thought it was been dead for a week.
Well, you know, she's the one that initially killed it with that Twitter thing. But what they had done is they offered her around, you know, between $4 and $5 million and said, take it or leave it. And she just said, I quit. But she would go back. And what I hear is there's a problem, frankly, there's a problem with her management, that there's some problem where the management wasn't communicating properly and it pissed off the Idol people. But the bottom line is, I can't believe that they're not going to compromise at some point. On principle, I don't think Idol's going to give her 10. But if they gave her something in between, my guess is she's going to go back. It's a hell of a lot of money.
It is.
And it's her platform. And, you know, I know ABC's talking to her, but it's real hard creating magic in a bottle more than once. And
that's right.
I just think that I still can't believe Idol would screw this up and not bring her back, because I think she's really critical to that show.
Yeah, why screw with success? Exactly. We know you have to go. The website of record, of course, is TMZ.com, TMZ Television.
This happens every time we talk to Harvey.
I'm sorry.
Tell us, hard time out at 8:49. We say, okay, we'll do it.
I know. I mean, you know, I'm probably going to be late for this.
Right, go ahead.
But you got to watch the show tonight because Jerry O'Connell is going to law school.
Okay.
And And because Rebecca Romijn's doing a TV show.
Jerry O'Connell is tired of being at home with the twins. That's what
and
that
right,
says to me.
He's going to law school, so I talked tonight. I am doing an intervention with Jerry O'Connell in the TV show to convince him why he shouldn't go to law school.
Fantastic. Harvey Levin, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Number one
kill. Hey!
Sublime.
Well done.
Famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:56.
It's the Kevin Bean Show. So I says to Olivia Munn, I says, Ralph, so when you're in Lake Como, did you go look for George Clooney's house? And she said, no, because I was staying there.
Yeah, yep. She came off a little Hollywood today, I think. Olivia.
She was dropping some names?
No, it's
but,
the answer.
She
you know
really
that,
did seem
but they do that
unaware.
Non-plus thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, no, I was at George's house. You know, any real person would come here and say, I am the most amazing Asian. I got to stay at George Clooney's house in Italy.
Right, but she said that her boyfriend was friends with him for a long time, so this was not that big.
So she doesn't know that George Clooney is a big name to other people, and that would be a cool thing to talk about.
I don't know.
That's what was weird for me, is that she was so nonplussed about it.
She's so bored with the whole George Clooney thing. She just couldn't be bothered to tell us.
So I'm banging Megan Fox over the weekend, you know, like I do. Yeah. And, I mean, that's what it came off as, right?
I've been banging her for so long, I didn't think you guys be interested.
That's a girl.
But she's just a girl. When you get down to it, fellas, she's just a girl like anybody else. She's just a regular gal. She likes to cook and clean and spend time around the house. I didn't think you guys would be impressed if I mentioned
you're
it.
You're jealous because she stayed with George and you wanted to.
Well, of course.
Okay. Aren't
but
we all,
also
though?
Not human to say, I stayed at George Clooney's house in Italy. It was so cool.
Yeah. That's just, it was one of the most surreal moments. I thought we were being punked there for a bit.
Well, here's the thing. You either have to lead with it or don't talk about
right.
it.
Right. One or the other.
Right. You start with, it was the most amazing guy I stayed with George Clooney.
It's not the fourth paragraph of the story.
Well, look, I love Olivia so much, and I am always excited to see it. I'm glad she came in today. All right. It's Monday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What the heck's going on?
You know, in the other room, I get bored sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a really cool website that gives you your anagram. Name. Like, if you type in your name, it tells you what the anagram is.
Okay.
You know, the anagram is like when you rearrange letters.
You are bored.
In words, and you come up with something.
Yes.
And I just thought you guys would be interested to know.
Okay.
Mine is not so good. Mine is Gnarl Ham Rap.
Gnarl Ham Rap.
Which could be my rapper name.
Yeah, that's not
Gnarl
bad.
Gnarl Ham. Could maybe be, you know, Gnarl with a G.
Sure.
But yours, the three of you guys, was much more interesting. Kevin's anagram, you move around the letters in his name, Kevin Ryder, you come up with every drink. How appropriate is that?
Interesting.
Every drink.
How dare you?
The truth is buried in your name, Kevin.
How dare you?
Beans is a bra be next. I'm thinking that's what he's going to put on.
Sure.
I am getting fat.
A bra be next.
By the way, did you guys see in District 9 that that
guy wearing
alien
the
wearing a bra?
Panties?
Sexy.
Yeah.
Very sexy.
It was very hot.
I'm sorry, and?
And I think he was high on cat food, though, at the time. That's why he was doing that. And Lisa's is, I slam ya.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Maybe the most accurate.
I just thought you guys might be it.
Okay.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I want to give away some tickets to a very special K-Rock screening. Actually, it's not a K-Rock screening. It is the world premiere of a movie called The Final Destination.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Do we already? That's great. It's August 27th. The movie's in theaters August the 28th, but you'll get to see it before anybody else if you attend the world premiere of The Final Destination. Now, this is the final of the Final Destination movies.
This is it.
So this is the final destination. This isn't Final Destination. This is the final destination.
All I know is I saw the trailer yesterday for it again, and a dude dies by getting sucked down into the drain. His butt is stuck to the drain.
He drowns in the bottom of the pool.
In a swimming pool.
Because death grabs him by the ass and pulls him to the bottom.
That rules.
Hold everything. We've got a winner.
And a girl gets murdered by a car wash.
That happens.
That happens in the movie.
Opens the sunroof and pulls her up and then
washes her head off.
Sweet.
Here's the thing about these movies.
We got a winner!
Usually they're filled with people that you love seeing get killed.
Right.
So that's why I always enjoy them.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm in.
If you'd like to go, the phone number is 1-800-520-1067. The first five callers to get through will get a pair of tickets to the premiere of The Final Destination. So call now, won't you?
Very cool.
Thank you. Today's celebrity birthdays. What? Are we out of time already? Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? District 9. Love it.
Awesome.
Love this movie. $37 million made it number one at the box office.
And word of mouth, by the way, probably will be just about as big next week.
I agree. I think it'll be number
Kevin?
One next week, too.
Yeah. Is it in your three favorite movies of all time?
It's in my top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah. Easily. Yeah.
Do your other favorite movie, Star Rivers Cuomo?
That was the best. We need some time for that tomorrow.
Yeah, we might need to set aside a whole entire break to talk about that. That was remarkable.
Aren't the short circuits in my mind getting old to you guys?
Nope.
But you keep besting yourself every time. You keep upping the ante.
Yeah.
You keep raising the bar.
Yeah, I know.
That was so special for me. I was in the bathroom. And, I
don't think we need to hear where you were when you heard it.
I listened to it in delay, so I'm about 20 seconds behind.
Right.
And I just hear laughing all over the building. I'm like, what has happened?
So you're sitting there listening to the feed, waiting
what
for it to come through?
What gem is coming my way?
And you weren't disappointed, were you?
Yeah.
You were
not. All right, let's move on.
We had a minute-long conversation about Rivers Cuomo from Weezer, and Kevin, the entire time, for whatever reason, thought we were talking about Joaquin Phoenix, and then started asking questions about Rivers Cuomo as if he were Joaquin Phoenix. Like, he heard he was getting into music, and we were just getting more and more puzzled the longer Kevin talked.
That's who's
What's up with Rivers Cuomo? He's not doing movies anymore, he's getting all into music? What's that all about?
His face popped into my head, and from that moment, I didn't hear, you know, the right, obviously, name, and so, you know.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
Yeah, magic time.
Well, someone just brought everything to a screeching halt.
G.I. Joe is number two at the box office. The Time Traveler's Wife came in at number three. Julie and Julia was fourth. G-Force was fifth. The Goods, Live Hard, Sell Hard, and its debut weekend had number six in the top 10. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, The Ugly Truth, Ponyo, and 500 Days of Summer round out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
You guys have never done that?
I don't have time. I don't have time for anything. Damn it.
Next hour, man. Next hour.
Next hour. I'll give you one. I'll give you one that I promised last hour,
right,
which is pretty spectacular. Finally, the sequel we've been asking about. The Wayans brothers have announced a sequel to White Chicks.
No.
Yeah! Yep. Marlon and Sean Wayans will be back as a pair of brothers who are FBI agents posing as a pair of white girls.
Yes. Yes.
We demanded it. We didn't see enough of White Chicks, so White Chicks 2 coming to a theater near you.
I didn't see it at all.
But yet you still demanded it, apparently.
Apparently.
No one's demanding that.
Everyone's demanding it. We need more White Chicks.
Who do they work for, Ralph, the brothers?
The FBI.
The FBI!
Don't indulge him.
Look, the man asks a question. It would be rude not to answer.
You could not know.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Belinda Carlisle, former lead singer of the Go-Go's, is 51 years old today. Sean Penn celebrates his 49th birthday. Robert De Niro. I just saw Goodfellas again over the weekend. How great is Goodfellas?
That's a great movie.
It should be called Greatfellas. That's how great it is. He is 66 years old today. Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses is 47. And Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block, TKNOB and OTB, is 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, you got to put him on the short list of the greatest bands of all time on this radio station, that's for sure. It's the return of Alice in Chains, ladies and gentlemen. Black Gives Way to Blue is the new album coming out September the 29th. We are proud to welcome the founding member, guitarist, and vocalist for the band, Jerry Cantrell. Joins us on the Kevin Beach Show.
How you guys doing?
Jerry, how are you, my friend? Thank you so much for coming in.
I'm good.
You know, this has been building for a long time, of course, Alice in Chains. You guys have been kind of back together and working your way toward this official coming out for some time. But it still has to kind of feel a little bit like a new beginning, having all this happen right now with this this show this weekend and with the album coming out.
It does. And it's, you know, it's really exciting for us. It kind of had a real humble beginning, this whole thing. And I don't think any of us really intended it to kind of go this far. But it's really cool that it has.
You didn't think at the time, you just thought, man.
Well, we
mess around a little.
It was really, yeah, it was really, really that one thing kind of led to another. You know, we got together to do a charity show with some friends to raise some money for the tsunami benefit, and that just kind of sparked the feeling of, like, you know, playing those songs again and playing them for people that care about the band, and it just felt really good.
See, that's the difference between people with talent and people without talent. Those of us that don't have talent, we get together and mess around. And then nothing comes of it. And guys like yourself get together and mess around, and look what happens.
That's awesome. That's right.
I think any effort in life, you know, I mean, anything of quality, man, takes some effort. So, but also, you know, a lot of lot of places you start take you far from where you think you're going to go. So,
that's true.
You
know. Sure.
Now, I feel like we need a one-sentence reset for folks who may be young enough or out of the loop that they don't know the story of Alice in Chains, but your band is a band that had been together for a lot of years with a tremendous amount of success, and unfortunately, like so many others, you lost your lead singer due to drugs back in 2002. And I'm sure at that time and in the couple of years after that, you probably thought there was never going to be another Alice in Chains because Lane's gone, so therefore you're probably not going to use that name again, right?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, like I was mentioning before, it just basically started with a show that wasn't really a focus on us, and it was us with some friends, and we had a good time and raised some money, and that kind of sparked some excitement from us, and just we started spending time jamming, and that turned into some gigs, and that turned into a tour, and that turned into us writing some new material and going, wow, you know, maybe we should think about.
When was the first time you thought, hey, new songs, let's start? Was there something that caused that, or it just happened along the way?
Well, you know, I mean, this is all we really do. It's the only thing we've never been fired from or quit. So, you know, we've spent a lot of time doing it. And, of course, it's nothing, you know, we took lightly because, you know, Lane was such an integral part of it. And beyond that, you know, this band has always been a real family, you know. So that's a huge part of your family to lose. And but what we've learned, I guess, going through the process is, you know, part of a life is learning to live with loss and how you get up when you get kicked down, you know. And if you want to continue to do that, that takes a lot. And the thing that makes it good is, and makes it right, I guess, is that we're all doing it together and going through it together as well. So
is there a little bit of we did what we did so well that we don't want to come back and put out something lesser, like you're almost a victim of your own success?
Well, you know, there's definitely like a bar that's been set, and we've always had a real firm grip on that steering wheel, you know, as far as like how we sound and things that we, the albums and the quality, I guess. So if this hadn't lived up to that for us, then you never would have heard it.
Probably. Okay.
and we would have been okay going through the process because then we would have known. And
right.
I think this was something once we got to a certain point, it was kind of like something we had to find out for ourselves. And luckily, we came up with a really great record, and it feels right. And also, enough people, you know, quite a few, pretty much most of the fans that supported us and through the years, the good years and the bad years, they're still there for us.
And that
makes it right, you know, so.
Was there, we're talking to Jerry Cantrell, by the way, from Alice in Chains. The new album is called Black Gives Way to Blue, out September 29th, and we just heard the first new song called Check My Brain a moment ago. Was there some talk when you were making the new record with William, your new lead singer, co-lead singer, I should say, was there some thought of, hey, we want this to sound like Alice in Chains, but not sound like we're trying to replicate exactly what it was like back then, not only because you got a different singer, but because a few years have gone by since then?
Sure, of course. Well, you know, I mean, it's a good thing that we do sound like ourselves because it's pretty much the only thing we know how to do.
Sure.
And of course, you know, going through a change like that, you know, the band has to evolve and has to become something a little new. But at the same time, Sean, myself, and Mike, we sound a certain way, and we've kind of developed a certain style of musical fingerprint, I guess, and we developed that with Lane, but we were all a part of that, you know. And so hopefully that's still comes through, and I think that it does. I think that within a couple of first couple of notes you hear of a song, you can tell it's us.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's really the goal.
You're one of the few bands that's true of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what one of the goals when you want to do something like this. I mean, you know, to maybe hit the mark of other artists that you've emulated, where when their song comes on, you know exactly who it is.
Is it odd for you to have been around and be accomplished and do what you did and write the songs and have the success, and then probably this Saturday there'll be people who've, you know, they're there for whatever other bands and they may not be very familiar with your stuff. Is it kind of weird to be playing to people sort of for the first time?
Yeah, or even born when we were playing music out. Yeah, you know, it's pretty cool to that the music is still around. You know, when you played that string of songs, I haven't even heard that many tunes put back to back, and it's, you know, it makes me really proud to be a part of a tradition and a group of guys that strives for that. And even when we weren't servicing in it, and we weren't out there, and we were going through our personal problems, you know, that music continued to live on its own and made connections, and it's made it, these last couple of years of going out and playing, it's made, you know, seeing a whole new group of fans that there's no possible way they could have seen us because they're like 14, 15, 16, you know, and that's really cool. And
it's also a really weird time in music in that a lot of it is disposable, and sure, somebody's super hot today and next week no one will ever remember them. So for you guys to go away for a while and still your music, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it
remains.
We don't take that lightly.
That's something.
You know, we feel pretty grateful to have the opportunity and still be able to do what we love to do, that people like to hear it, and most importantly, we get to do it together, you know.
We need to take a quick break. Yeah. Jerry Cantrell is here. The album again is coming out on September the 29th. First new Alice in Chains studio album in, what has it been? 12 years?
14 years?
Yeah. Jesus. Wow. We'll talk some more about that, including an unexpected special guest star on the album. We want to hear how that happened, and we'll talk some more about the big concert, by the way, which is happening this weekend. It's Saturday, the Epicenter at the Fairplex in Pomona. Doors open at 11 o'clock. Music starts at noon. You can still get some tickets through Ticketmaster. It really is a fantastic lineup. Tom Morello's group, Street Sweeper Social Club, will be on the bill. Hollywood Undead, Atreyu, Wolfmother, Alice in Chains, Linkin Park, Tool, and there's also a side stage, DJs, a whole bunch more. Anyway, we'll take a break and come back more with Jerry after this on The Kevin DeBean Show. Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains playing the show this weekend is in our studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Jerry, I'm looking at this schedule. After this weekend, you're heading off all over the country, and it seems like you're playing way smaller places than I would have expected you to play. Like,
sure,
you know, House of Blues and places like that. Why aren't you playing bigger venues? You know the fan base is out there.
Well, you know, when you start, we gotta learn how to play our songs.
You gotta relearn them?
Yeah, you gotta relearn them. You know,
So these shows will suck, but at least not very many people will see them, right? That's what you're saying?
That's exactly right. You know, it's actually a pretty normal kind of model, you know, when you're coming out with a new record to kind of do a little bit of work a couple of months before you really hit it hard, and a lot of times kids don't get to see you in an intimate setting too, so those first couple of months sometimes it's better to play some smaller places, get in some sweaty rooms with your fans and mm-hmm. give them a little closer access to you, and you get a little closer to them too.
If Kevin and Bean could sell out the 9:30 club in Washington D.C., maybe Alice in Chains should be playing someplace bigger. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, you know, hopefully we'll be coming back around and you know, we'll play some bigger
it's
places.
It's funny, you picture bands, you see them on stage, it doesn't look like it's difficult at all. It looks like, you know, you're enjoying yourselves and stuff, and everybody says that they practice so much, and that just sounds weird to me.
Sure, that's the trick. That's the trick. Well, I think, you know, if you anything that anybody kind of dedicates them to, whether, you know, whatever sports, any sort of job that's like a performance type level, if it looks easy, somebody will work their butt off to make it look easy. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's a good point.
And I have to, you know, I have to work really hard to be able to try to be consistent.
That's why so many people want to be rock stars, because they look up there and they go, that's simple.
Totally.
I'm not even trying. I can do that.
That's the trick.
Jerry, tell me about you, because you're so renowned as a guitar player. Were you, was that the thing you knew and fell in love with when you were like six or something? You knew that was what you wanted to do, was play guitar?
Yeah, well, I was always kind of drawn to guitar, but I think even before I wanted to, I guess I probably did. I was strumming air guitar on tennis rackets and crap like that. So I guess, yeah, that's fair. I always wanted to be a guitar player, but funnily enough, the thing that really kind of inspired me to, the first thing I remember hearing that inspired me to want to be a musician myself was Elton John, actually, who's a piano player. So
really,
yeah.
Well, that brings us to our next topic.
Yeah, right? You like that lead-in?
Nice,
that was good.
Done.
Yeah.
Wow. You don't even need us.
So, is anything going on with Elton John these days?
You have any guests on your new album or anything that you want to tell us about?
Well, yes, we do. Elton is appearing on the Alice in Chains record, Black Gives Way to Blue.
How did that happen?
You know, I had met him, and we have a couple of mutual friends in his camp that used to be in the Alice camp, or actually continue to be. And, you know, the song itself, the title track, Black Has a Way to Blue, is a real heartfelt song for Lane, and kind of part of the process of us saying goodbye to our buddy, you know. So it means a lot. It's the title track, and of course, you know, he means a lot, so... we were thinking of having a piano on it, and somebody suggested who would play piano, and our buddy Baldy, who runs a lot of the stuff on the website for us, he used to work for Elton John. He's like, why don't you call Elton?
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he'll be coming right down to do that.
Well, know, it's a strange, you know, mix of
not
styles.
The first name that comes to mind.
No, yeah. But that makes it more interesting.
It makes a lot of sense because he means so much to my musical journey, and also the rest of the guys in the band too. As a matter of fact, I just got a call from Jim Elmer, Lane's stepfather, a couple of days ago, who reminded me, and I had forgotten that Elton John was his first concert. So
really?
These weird things kind of keep happening without us really kind of trying to direct it. It's kind of just go with the flow, and some really cool things end up happening, you know. So I sent him a little note and explained what the song was and what it meant and its significance, and he said he would do it.
How about that?
And he can't. We flew out to Vegas and cut it with him in a couple of hours, and he was great.
What's it like working with him in the studio? Can you give him direction, or do you just have to sit back and go, well, he's Elton John, so I'll just take whatever he lays down?
Yeah, well, that's definitely what I was feeling. I mean, what do you say to that
right.
dude?
Yeah.
You
know, that's perfect. Take again. Let's do it again.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, dude, you kind of messed it up there, man. Can you take it from the edge there? You're a little sour on the end there, Elton. Yeah, what do you say to a guy like that? I mean, those were probably, we were just so excited. We were just trying not to, like, start, you know, screaming, you know, like
right.
little girls. You know, it was a lot of energy in the room from the four of us, and I think we were all kind of cracking up, like, watching each other kind of geek out, you know, being in a room with Elton. But that was probably one of the most nerve-wracking things, was actually making a suggestion to him.
Yeah.
You know, like, God.
Yeah.
Should I? I've got to.
Was he cool about it?
He was totally cool about it. You know, I mean, outside of all of the stuff that I've just explained and why it was cool, another great thing is seeing an artist that's had the impact that he has and for as long as
he has. For decades and decades.
And still, and for him, we were speaking about Ozzy about this on the break. Mm-hmm. For him to be that inspired still and that much have that much interest in other people's music. He's an encyclopedia of everything, and he keeps up to date on weekly releases.
Totally.
Really? Wow.
He has one of the largest record collections in the world, Kevin. He buys almost every new release every week. He's insatiable for his appetite for new music. He's unbelievable like that. That's cool. Well, now that you've nailed that, though, seems to me like Neil Diamond needs to sing on some songs on your next record. Seems to me like that's the next call that needs to be made, right?
And then Weird Al.
And then it all goes back to Weird Al.
Neil Diamond's cool, man.
Psycho Mike, you had a very interesting question that you demanded on asking during the commercials. We'd rather you ask it on the air.
Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned the benefit for the tsunami victims.
Yeah.
And Maynard James Keenan came out, Maynard from Tool, and sang Man in the Box at that show.
He certainly did.
And I remember some Southern California shows where Chester from Linkin Park came and sang that same song.
And he killed it. Yeah, it was great.
Well, they're both going to be with you Saturday night at the Epicenter. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if there's going to be some weird, like three-way, or if you had anything special planned.
Are we talking after the show? Or?
Wow.
Are we talking music still?
Well, maybe.
Maybe not.
Either way.
Well, thank you. I'm spoken for. You know, I mean, that's the cool thing about being in a band, and especially doing a festival-type situation where you see all your buddies and stuff. Things happen, and there's nothing planned for that to, you know, there's nothing planned, but who knows, you know? Right. Yeah.
That'd be cool. I have another geeky question for you, Jerry. This is Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains. We're talking about the Epicenter concert this weekend. I am not a musician at all. I don't know anything about music, so forgive me if this is a really stupid question. But we talked earlier about how your sound is so identifiable, and that's largely because of your guitar playing. Your sound is so heavy, like on this new song that we just played, the Check My Brain song. Mm-hmm. Is that because of just the way you play, or is that because there's lots of overdubbing, or is it because of the way you put the guitar next to the amp? Or how do you make it so big and so fuzzy?
Well, it's a combination of things. I think, you know, there's a great story I remember reading in like a circus magazine when I was a kid about Ted Nugent taking out Van Halen to open up for him when they were just coming out. And I remember, you know, Eddie had such an amazingly unique sound.
He's an artist.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And Ted, I guess, snuck out and plugged into Eddie's amps, you know, expecting to have some whack sound come out, and he sounded like Ted Nugent. So, I remember reading that story, and then in the early 90s, we got to go out and tour with Van Halen, and I got to kind of test that same thing, because Ed would come out and play with us. A lot of the time, he would come out and do sound checks with us and stuff, or if I was late, I'd show up and Ed's playing with a band.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So, but he's playing through my stuff and he sounds like Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
So a lot of it is in the person's hands, you know. You know, amps to a certain degree, sure, and recording techniques, and I layer stuff a lot. And,
right.
And also there's another thing that really gets overlooked. It's how I play with the rest of the guys. You know, everybody adds something to it. And it's not just me. It's how I play within the context of the band that adds to that. But just on a personal, pure guitar note, it's mostly in the hands. Yeah.
Interesting. Hmm. Interesting. All right. Well, that's depressing for people listening who want to play like you.
Can't buy my hands, man.
Basically, it can't be done. All right. In our remaining moments, Jerry, we've only heard Check My Brain. It sounds like Black Gives Way to Blue is going to be an awesome song. I can't wait to hear that. What's the rest of the record like?
You guys have heard A Looking in View, too, as well, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are a couple of the heavier tracks, but, you know, there's a lot of, it's a really good record. It's a really deep record, and I think that you'll get a lot of mileage and listens out of it, you know, and, but there's a lot of textures that probably represent some of the more acoustic elements that we've done in the past, and
disco.
And,
is there some disco?
Yeah, there is some disco, and Sean does a little spoken word at the end, and, we have.
It's a tough sell.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, save that for the next one, I guess. Yeah. The album is called Black Gives Way to Blue. It comes out on September the 29th. You can see Alice in Chains this weekend, of course, at the Epicenter. And as Jerry made reference to earlier, this probably isn't the last chance you'll have to go see them. But it is certainly with this lineup with, it's Linkin Park's only show in North America this whole year, for instance. So you definitely want to be there on Saturday. And then definitely stay tuned to AliceinChains.com for all the further information. Great to have you in, man. Thanks a lot for stopping by the Kevin
Thanks,
Show.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 9:45. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. You've had stories all day long you've been dying to get to. Now's your chance.
No, so many stories. No time. Too many stories. Let's talk about the weekend's hot movies first. We do it every Monday morning so you know what people are going to see at the movies over the past weekend. District 9 was the big winner this weekend, $37 million. Number one. Even despite all those South African accents that you could barely understand, people loved it.
That was a great movie.
Sure was. G.I. Joe was number two. The Time Traveler's Wife came in at number three. Julie and Julia was number four. G-Force was fifth. The Goods, Harry Potter, The Ugly Truth, Ponyo, and 500 Days of Summer rounding out your top ten. You know, they said The Time Traveler's Wife, in its debut weekend, made about $20 million, is the biggest opening weekend for a romantic movie this year.
Really?
Apparently people loved the book, and it drove them to the theaters to see Eric Bana and Rachel McAdams starring in that. So, interesting stuff. Levi Johnston. Does that name sound familiar to you?
Kathy Griffin's new boyfriend.
That's right. This is Bristol Palin's baby daddy.
Ah.
The one they trotted out during the election, remember?
Okay, yes.
Put him in a suit and told him to shut up and put him up on stage, and then they broke up shortly after the election.
Just look presentable and don't talk.
He wants to be somebody.
Uh-oh.
He's starting to look for his own 15 minutes of fame. As Bean mentioned, he was Kathy Griffin's date to the Teen Choice Awards.
Okay.
And he has announced via Us Weekly magazine that he's willing to pose nude if the price is right. The 19-year-old aspiring actor says he's not against a little nudity if it helps him increase his visibility.
Fail! Epic fail.
I'm so surprised to hear that, Ralph, because have you ever seen the kid interviewed? He's a zero. Yeah, like he's I've never seen him say anything interesting or clever.
He is sans personality.
Yeah. Kathy must have written that for him.
He also said that he is considering taking a stab at Sarah Palin's former job sometime in the future. He would like to be the governor of Alaska as well.
Yes, please.
Wow. I would love that. 19, I don't think he's eligible for a number of years, but somewhere down the road, he would consider being the governor of Alaska.
Be running on the comedy ticket.
So
that's awesome.
He's got that going for him.
And his qualification is that he knocked up the governor's daughter.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Robert Downey Jr. is in talks to play a vampire. Everybody wants to play a vampire these days.
Good. More than merry.
RDJ would be playing the lead role in Interview with a Vampire in the remake of the same movie that Tom Cruise played a vampire in, with famously with Brad Pitt.
But is he really quit acting and this music thing is something that he's serious about? Or do you think it's just a public relations stunt?
I think you may be referring to Joaquin Phoenix. That's a different
I'm sorry. I guess I wasn't paying attention again.
Would you like to see another Wolverine movie?
Sure.
Okay, good for you. This is going to happen. Fox has announced that Hugh Jackman has signed on to reprise his role as the mutant with healing powers and an adamantium skeleton at least one more time. Insiders say the movie, the next Wolverine movie, will be set in Japan.
Hey!
And Wolverine will be battling ninjas.
That would be great.
So we get to see that.
Ninjas.
If that's at all interesting to you. This sounds like it could be an interesting film. Hollywood Reporter announces that they are planning a movie based on the life of John DeLorean.
Nice.
Now, some of you may not remember who John DeLorean was, but he was a big automobile mogul. He worked at General Motors and developed the Pontiac GTO muscle car. Back in the 60s, went on to start his own auto company. The DeLorean famously was used in the Back to the Future movies as the time machine. He was eventually busted in an FBI drug trafficking sting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was caught selling blow.
By the local police?
No, no, sadly, by the FBI.
The state police?
The FBI!
The FBI.
Oh, damn it.
He was later acquitted on grounds of entrapment, but it pretty much ended his career and his marriage. He was married to a model named Christine Ferraro, who was also a local person, TV personality here in Los Angeles. And he died in 2005 at the age of 80, reportedly bankrupt.
Cooking is cool. Makes your brain feel silly.
It does make your brain feel silly. That's for sure. And Jamie Foxx has a secret love child. We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week.
Oh.
According to the New York Daily News, the mother is a tall, muscular, and pretty brunette real estate agent who Jamie had a dalliance with and gave birth to a daughter last October. Jamie has not made it public recently, but one of his co-stars was on a TV talk show recently and sort of outed the fact that he's got a new baby.
Nice of him.
Jamie's representatives say he'd like to be part of the little girl's life, but has no intention of settling down. Well, why? Why, when you've just knocked up one woman, why would you stop there? When you can knock up as many women as you want.
Right.
When you're
Jamie
Foxx.
He's never been married, Jamie Foxx.
No, he's not. He loves his mama.
Right.
He does.
Did you see the pictures going around on Friday of the supposed naked photo of Jamie Foxx?
No.
Standing in the bathroom? Yeah.
Ooh.
Pretty
in the
impressive.
Bathroom.
Pretty.
Bean spent the whole day trying to find that.
No, Jamie I came Foxx across knew. It. And I was Foxx surprised naked. It didn't get more play, to tell you the truth. It was pretty impressive.
You gonna put that next to your O.J. Simpson nude photo in your house, Bean? You're working up a whole collection of famous black nude guys.
That's my category. If I ever get on Jeopardy, I'm gonna nail it if that comes up.
I bet you would like to. It's gonna have one hallway of just nude black men in Bean's house.
He does have a painting of O.J. nude.
A photograph in his
bathroom.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now he's gonna add this to it. Apparently.
Girl, when are you gonna let me tap that ass?
Well. No word from Jamie Foxx's rep on when he will let Bean tap that ass.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthday is Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block is 40 years old today. Gilby Clark,
yeah,
guitarist for Guns N' Roses, is 47. Sean Penn, one of our best actors working today. I was really impressed by that Milk.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
He did a good job.
It was really good.
49 years old. Belinda Carlisle, lead singer of the Go-Go's, is 51. Robert De Niro turned 66 years old today. And the singer of Dexy's Midnight Runners, Kevin Rowland.
Come on, Eileen.
Responsible for one of the dirtiest one-hit wonders in history is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, thank you, Ralph. How about tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean show? How's that shaping up for us there, Kevin?
Pretty crappy. I'd say stay away. Oh, wait, no, we have Sharon Osbourne.
Huh?
Sharon!
One of the judges, of course, on America Doesn't Have Talent.
Oh, how
that
dare
show.
You.
Last year a ventriloquist won. How good can the talent be this year?
And that ventriloquist, by the way, is making a ton of money in Las Vegas and is wildly popular and, by all accounts, does an excellent show.
Are you going?
He did sign a $100 million
contract. I plan to go see Terry Fader.
Oh, my God.
Because I was impressed by his work on the show.
You go to the MGM Grand and there are floor-to-ceiling photos and posters of him everywhere.
Wow.
In that smash hotel. Hit.
He's done well. If you have OCD, we're going to tell you how you can get on a TV show tomorrow.
Great. Okay.
You can make some money on that.
How long are we going to listen to this theme song, by the way? I'm just curious if it's just going to go on all the way through the next show, or how's that going to work?
And we have the story of Bob Dylan getting pulled over for being white.
Oh, racial profiling again?
Yep.
I will not accept it.
Driving while white. So that story is tomorrow morning.
We might have Quentin Tarantino on the show tomorrow, too.
Might have Quentin Tarantino on the show tomorrow,
maybe,
too.
Maybe. So that gives you a reason to check in to see whether he shows up.
Maybe, maybe not. Yeah.
Cat Corbett is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including some Nine Inch Nails for you. We also got Muse and their latest other ways, some Bad Religion. We got the Ramones. We got Rise Against. We got the